Riders, Rangers, and Rebels, Season 2. Shukumin Shinobi is the legendary underground toy reviewer. Dawson Rider is Awesome Rider. And Jedimon is sleeping.
Hello, welcome to our Season 2, Episode 33. It's my son! This episode title brought to you by capital letters.
Yes. Yup.
And Japanese people overreacting.
Yup.
Yup.
Yup. Yup, Patrick Harris.
Definitely.
Yup.
Roof.
Man, we are in there tonight.
This is a momentous occasion. This is the first podcast recorded in two seasons where Jedimon has a microphone. A headset microphone, not a Rock Band microphone.
It was a Guitar Hero, thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to degrade it.
Spoilers are the same fucking thing.
Brian, look.
Well, they're both dead now. It doesn't matter.
This is true.
Right. So, anyway,
no,
we're going to say this now in case anyone dies by the end of the podcast.
Pass out because we just talked so long that they fall asleep on the train and just keep looping. They're like, oh, fuck.
Please leave feedback and stuff in the Ramboards thread because we kind of need that. Particularly about what you think about the Dragon Ball discussion, since it's structured a little bit different than our other RR and RRs, just because there's so many characters that it's not going to be like a structured, oh, let's talk about Goku, or let's talk about Vegeta. It's just going to be like a big mess.
Yeah, so, pretty much. More so than the usual mess.
Exactly. It's a hot mess.
Yeah, and I mean, we love Kiefer and all. He leaves such long feedback, but we need more than just Kiefer's.
Yeah, we really like enjoy getting the feedback from lots of different people.
And not just cool 10 minutes after the podcast has been released. That's unacceptable. Like, that really fucking is. That's just unacceptable.
Show stuck this week, dude, has been out for 4 seconds. I'll listen to it. Bitch, you don't know my life.
I mean, you don't have to write a novel like Kiefer, but just a little feedback is great, you know? I liked this was cool. Don't do this anymore, this sucks. Kick that Dawson guy off, he's a moron, you know?
I like
where'd
how
you ever find
I'm never in any sort of position to be threatened because I do everything.
Brian, we're going to move and we're going to join up with Eugene and we're going to do the Katsu News podcast.
This is getting edited out. Bam, edit.
Yeah.
I love us.
Yeah.
Anyway. Mr. S just said that they got a notification from Bandai that they'll be shipping Gokai Pink on January 26th. So, there you go. Yeah. January 26th.
She's
going to
be shipping alone.
Yeah.
She might get raped in the mail. She's a mailing buddy.
The only reason I'm going to ship her alone is because I want to finish off the Gokaiders by mid-February.
You can't just have the four of them sitting there like, hey. Well, they did recruit I'm last, so it makes sense.
So, anyway.
Right. So, on to the one-ups.
Look, a 21-minute demo for Gokai Yellow. That's about right. That's part one.
That's part one. Good, I thought that was too short.
Oh, God. Anyway, on to the one-ups, because I can't take that anymore.
Okay. So, God, what the hell? Oh, Christmas. Fuck,
yeah,
that happened.
What the hell happened? Oh, no. Check my blog.
Nothing really happened. There's this holiday. Right, so, I tried to go to my blog and I went to Ami Ami.
it's still going on my Ami Ami.
It's a reaction. Okay, did... I don't think I get anything, like, before Christmas.
Oh,
no,
Jesus.
I don't think so. So, right,
hope
anyway.
Hope you all are comfortable.
Yep. So, sit back, relax, enjoy the show. Fuck yeah. Christmas haul. So some of that stuff, like I talked about already, so I won't really discuss those. While I was up in Frankenmuth, I got an Angry Birds winter hat that's adorably comfortable.
He's gonna wear it with his Transformer Snuggie. That's how he goes out in public. It's pretty funny.
Along with Shuki Knife 5.0. I think this is 5. If anyone actually knows what knife this is, tell me, because I don't.
It cracks me up. Whose is this? They're just here. I don't know. What number is it? Like, I don't know how many knives I've owned.
Like, there was some I only used, like, once. Before I realized it was a bad idea to use that knife.
Like the one you rubbed against your face?
Well, I just wanted to prove that it wasn't sharp. Like,
it's really funny. You got like a crazed look on your face, though. You're like, see? Ah.
It's hilarious,
so
because
scared.
If I rubbed my face against this knife, I would bleed.
Oh, God. It's not sharp. Oh, fuck! I mean, there goes my cheek.
It's not super sharp, because I can tap it, and it's fine, but the point is very pointy. I can tap it.
All right, the point is pointy. I may write that one down.
So going on my blog!
Right. So, I got a necklace from my friend Pam on Christmas Eve.
I'm telling Kat you have another friend. That's a girl.
They're friends.
Pam. Oh, it's two M's. That was the confusion.
I got another knife and then a short sword, because that's how I roll.
Brian's secretly an assassin. He works for Clyde Decker. He never told anyone before.
And then I got Sonic Generations on 3DS, which I proceeded to beat on Christmas Day.
And by beat, he just means he took a hammer to it. I beat it. Look, I beat all these games in one day. Shows picture of Smash games. Take that, Kiefer.
And then on Christmas, I got, game-wise, I got Lego Harry Potter years 5 through 7. Yeah. Rayman Origins, which is pretty much next on my list of things to play.
I want to know how it is right now. Stop the podcast now and go play it.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
Power Rangers Samurai on the DS, which I beat
today.
See
how it is. How is that?
It's a side-scroller, so it's a lot more like the SNES games.
Which, but I enjoyed.
I don't think it's as enjoyable as the SNES games. It does have moments, but it just gets so repetitive. Because
like
there's only
Power
like
Rangers
5 different levels.
And licensed games that aren't bad, huh?
So, it's hit or miss. I recommend picking it up for like,
you
like if you
can
find it like for 9, not 9, but 10 to, and even from 10 to 20, I think it's alright for a pickup. But at like the $30 price or whatever, it's not really worth it.
Yeah. It's like $20.01. Fuck this. Way too expensive. Fugo Shinobi says. Nope.
2 cents off, $19.99. Hell yeah. It's a steal.
Samurai steel. Oh, it's gonna be good later.
Yeah. DVD wise, I got Clone Wars season 2 and season 3, Chuck season 4, Family Guy volume 9, the Leighton movie, the Big Bang Theory Factor Fiction trivia game.
Oh man,
I've yet to open
it. Baby.
Oh baby.
I forgot, on 3DS I got Skylanders, so now I have all of the Skylanders currently released. Go me. Yay, nerddom.
Brian won, as usual.
And then I got a Toy Story, Gremlins, and Lego Darth Vader ornaments. Fun times.
He's still talking.
Particularly
he's
Lego Darth Vader. Shh. I like this knife. It, like, it's got like a spring in it. So if you push it, it flicks out really fast. Like,
yeah, Brian's an assassin.
It's like meteor.
An assassin!
And then yesterday. I went out to Walmart and I took my gift cards and then half of Kat's gift cards, because it was part of my Christmas gift, and got a new computer chair. So now there's no squeakies, and I'm not in fear of falling backwards every time I move. Because I pretty much I killed the crap out of that chair by sitting really stupid. But,
I was just going to say by sitting in it.
Well, that too, but, like, I always sit in the chair cross-legged. Because that's comfortable to me.
Why would that kill it?
And
my chair's doomed.
I don't know. I think it's a mix of me being, you know, heavy and my feet not being on the ground. And so that's a lot on the poor little chair. But this one's got a nice structure, so I don't think I'm going to kill it as quickly. So it's not held together by, like, a single pole in the middle of the chair. It's always a really creepy design for a chair, but there's, like, one little pole supporting the entire chair.
Does it swivel?
Yeah, it rotates. There's no wheels. That's the only bad thing.
Swivel. Join here, swivel.
It needs to be really, like, tall so that when people come behind you, you can just swivel and be like, I've been expecting you.
And then...
You're just petting Scraggy.
Yes. At Toys R Us, they're still having a buy one, get one 50% off a Mega Block, so I picked up the Samurai Megazord and the Decker Jet and the Jaden Boat.
Fuck, are you still talking?
And then Mom had to get shit at Best Buy, so I was looking around and I found Green Lantern Emerald Knights for $8, so I picked that up.
Okay, it's $8, and I like to buy things, so hey.
Yep. And then today, Figuarts Vegeta showed up and shot Scraggy. I was like, no Vegeta, and saved Scraggy.
Scraggy's like, Scrag!
But he's a really cool figure.
I want to be a Super Saiyan!
People are bitching about it because it's from the Android Saga.
Uh-huh. So it's in his armor?
I think the only difference is his boots.
What's wrong? What do you mean the boots? They're not painted?
The tip of the boots. In Android Saga, he just had white boots, and then everything after that, he had the boots with the little yellow tips on them.
Oh, who cares?
And people are bitching because it's not the yellow-tipped boots because they're so iconic.
Oh my god, who cares? Just block his feet off with Goku.
I never noticed until someone pointed it out.
Like, I noticed it, but, I mean, like, in the show, but I just don't care about the figure. I mean, I care about the figure, but not that.
But, really,
take that,
really sharp.
Fives fans.
That was fun.
That was funny.
But lots of details on, like, the hair and the armor and everything looks really cool. This is the first figure arts box I own with English all over it. It's kind of weird.
It's kind of like seeing Chink and Red in Toys R Us. Like, whoa. Whoa. People are going to find out about these. Shouldn't we hide these? Can't spread the word here.
Anyway, that's all. Patiently waiting some sort of Oki total for December.
But
and
is everything released?
Yeah, I think so.
He should have everything.
Okay, I'll have to talk to him tomorrow. Okay, so my turn. Kevin's like, oh god. Kevin's just asleep by the time we're done. Okay,
I'm playing Mario Kart, so...
Oh, okay, you're good. You're safe. So I also got Skylanders for 3DS, and I really like it. I think it's fun. I almost like the control a little bit better, just because it feels a little more like fluid, being able to jump and stuff. Yeah. And I got a bunch more Skylanders that I needed. I'm almost done. I think I need like 3 or 4 more guys. Oh, I need those stupid ass packs too. Fuck. Well, Brian won, so it doesn't matter anyway. I can take my time now. I got Mario Kart 7 for 3DS and Super Mario Land 3D for 3DS, and that game is awesome. My voice faded out trying to do awesome. Shut up. And I got Halo Anniversary Edition of Halo 1. I don't know if I can play it, though, now, because my Xbox might be scratching my games. I'm not sure. I got my third version of Modern Warfare 3.
Oh, God.
I'm debating about just taking it back and just getting the $60. this isn't worth it. and I got the rest of the seasons of How I Met Your Mother that I needed. 3, 4, 5, and 6.
How did you meet her?
We don't know yet. Oh. We're still trying to figure it out. I think they're still thinking about it. I like how in the episode where his parents, how did you meet your mother? Oh, it's a great story! In a bar! End of story. And I got this really cool Ass Creed, if you don't know what that is, Assassin's Creed, like, encyclopedia book. It's, like, really cool.
Oh! I'm sorry.
You know what? To bed! Jerry, to bed. You got weird and Tamers, and now it's over.
I'm in bed.
Jerry...
I got a GPS because I need a GPS. I get lost easily.
I get lost.
If you're lactose intolerant, is it dairy?
that's great.
I know, right?
I got some points cards for PlayStation Network, so I can finally buy Infamous Festival of Blood. And for
you can buy that and the Uncharted download content still.
Oh, I forgot about that shit.
They got like a pack for like $45. You get like everything or something.
What else did I get? Oh, I got this really cool nerd jacket from the Nerd Machine, but it ended up being too big, so I had to send it back to get a medium, but it's a really cool jacket. And then just my other gifts from family was just kind of random money and gift cards, so I didn't have as much fancy stuff to show off as Brian. People were just like, buy your own shit this year. I'm like, okay, but you know my Hall's Post isn't going to be as big. Yeah, we know. Whatever. That never happened, actually. That was just in my head. And I think that's about it. I got my Oki box the day before Christmas, and I still haven't opened the Fig Yards of Burkwani and the two, whatchamacallits. Oh, and I also finally got my Sword of Omens.
Thunder. Thunder.
Okay, Kevin, you can go. I'll just keep us going. Thunder. Thunder. Thunder.
Thunder.
Kevin?
Well, I'm waiting for you to stop.
No! I guess.
Don't call me a hoe. Well, I had Christmas as well, and I got... Yeah, we're going to pretend he's not here. I got...
Thunder.
Mario Kart. I got Mario Kart 3DS, and I got Tetris Axis, which is pretty fun.
Tetris Axel.
And...
No, it's Axel, playing... not Axel, you nub. It's the same word. Shut up. I know more than you.
I'm playing Mario Kart right now. It's awesome. And what else is there? I got Skyward Sword, which I'll get around to playing that eventually. And I got this nifty headset, and I got some giant Reese's that are like a half a pound. Each Reese's cup is a half a pound. I got scared. And I got the Ninja Turtles jacket and a South Park blanket, an Angry Bird shirt that says "Bird is the word," and I was like, "Yes, it is the word." And
bird's the word. Third. Third in there somewhere.
Shut up. So anyway, but yeah, I got a tie. That was fun. That was stupid. And
put the batteries in wrong.
But yeah, other than that, I got some cool stuff. I got a little plush Link. It's a little Toon Link plush, and I love him.
I didn't put them in at all.
And,
he's got a sword and he stabs you or something.
He's got a sword and a shield, and he's gonna cut you. And I am still needing to talk to Oki about a total for my November and December stuff. And oh, I attempted to pre-order stuff from HLJ. I don't know how that's going to go. But I pre-ordered the Meteor Galaxy and Driver, Whole Wank Off, and the Mag Phone.
Found them.
What did you find? Was I?
The batteries.
Oh.
For him,
I was wondering why my Portal of Power wouldn't turn on, and I realized I never put in the batteries.
No, Brian's not playing a game at all.
I'm not, because I had to find the batteries.
You're right.
Before I end my one-ups, since today we recorded on Tuesday, it's the 27th, sort of.
There goes our secrets. Fuck this.
Technically, it's the Wednesday now, but...
I'm changing my identity.
Yes. You are Dawson Rider and Dawson Rider Blog, is that correct?
No! Oh my god, that was great.
just as long as I don't kamikaze call you, is this Dawson Rider?
How did you know? Quick, Robin, close the Batcave!
Looks over, you left Shakespeare's head open. But no, so since it's Tuesday, my friend at work, I got him to listen to this because I told him how funny it was. He has no clue, right, what we're talking about at all. Like seriously, we were talking about Decade one time, and since we said it as Decade, not Decade, he thought it meant, like, something was decaying. It was fucking hilarious. Right? Well, it's Chad's birthday, so I want to say happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Chad.
Subarashi! Happy birthday!
So, yeah.
You gotta show them that on YouTube because they'll just think I'm
crazy.
Otherwise,
I was like, dude, your friends are insane. You need to stop talking to them right away.
Yeah, those people are crazy. I mean, it's funny watching y'all yell at each other and all, but these people are crazy. So, yeah, I wanted to throw that out.
Funny, my friend had to listen to a few of them when I was listening to him in the car, like, in the early days, and he's like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? Especially during Kevin's summaries, because he just go crazy about stuff. Like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, I remember him listening to the summary of the Samurai, the Shinkenger special thing, where they're, like, in space and stuff. He's like, what the fuck is going on?
That's pretty much what happens. He's just like, I'll get a text message from him. He'll be in his office. He'll just send me a text message with a question like, what? And then I'll have to explain it real fast. Because I have no idea what he's talking about. It's pretty funny. So, yeah. I guess we can move on now into anything else. Although, Angela's stuff is still everywhere. But Matt won't know because he's not listening, so.
Poor Matt.
I know, right?
Indeed.
So, nudes? We got some fun nudes this week.
We do got fun nudes. We don't got much nudes, but they're fun nudes.
Giggle.
they are indeed very,
I didn't
very
get a star at all. You're fun. An ass.
Nude. I told you it would happen.
Hey, Ming.
Hey, Ming.
My babies.
My
fairies.
My Twinkies.
My Twinkies. Oh my god. My Twinkies, man.
That's fat.
Kessler destroyed them. He's like, die, Twinkies! And then he smushed them in his beast form.
I got the Koopa Clown. That's fun.
This is the news. Game
you that is
we had
news.
A live show. Like, we're just sitting there at the desk bickering.
Okay, so our first bit of nudes.
DS is in hand.
That'd be hysterical. It's all about Tokume Sentai Go Busters. We have staff and info and story and pictures and such. So, the first thing to note is obviously looking at the picture at the top of the page is you'll notice that their outfits are made of leather. And not the typical spandex. So we're going
so
back.
Grown-ups in spandex? Oh, God.
No, they're grown-ups in leather.
Bondage time.
I see what you did there. I'm foreign.
I mean, it's still tight leather, but...
That's Zigvi. He's foreign.
Boop! But it's a lot like the olden days where they were, like, made out of cloth and stuff, so... It's interesting to see a new material. But anyway... I like the straps on the arms. Like, they don't go to anything, so they look kind of goofy.
Uh-oh.
They're wearing a backpack that's not there.
This is called... What we're about to experience is called Neo Robot.
This is when Kevin's computer decides to freak out because, well...
Freak the freak out. Whoa.
It's an old model MacBook, and that's what happens.
It's not old model.
Oh, God, see, he's slowly turning into a robot, as you can see. Oh, there we go. Fixed it.
It's not an old model MacBook. It's... Wow, it's... No, wait. No, it's from, like, 08? 7. It's from 07.
Yeah, so was mine. That's old.
Shh! I will murder you.
So anyway, so the Go Busters, three heroes and their partners, the Buddyroids... Their mission, protect Earth, as only
Body.
They can. A battle for their fate, tinged with special mission, begins. Good old
After
translations of Japanese. So anyway, the official romanization for this is Go Busters with a dash between the Go and the Busters, so just like Golanger. The stages for their battle are on the Earth, and another world that looks exactly like Japan, because everything happens in Japan. Events
How
that happen.
Convenient is that, right?
I know, right? Events that happened
Japan
13
and
years ago are where the story starts. 13 years ago, a bug-like program known as Vengix, scratch that, was created accidentally and began to run wild on the Energy Management Office's main computer.
Alphabet Soup?
Yep. Somehow the building is transported to another dimension.
That conveniently looks like Japan.
As a byproduct of the battle, man obtains a mysterious energy known as VOM, or VAM, or something. 13 years ago in the present time, VOM VAM has become an indispensable energy source. The bug program from another dimension once again begins its invasion of Earth. Three children who escaped from the Energy Management Office building 13 years ago.
Three typical average kids? Oh.
Jumped into an Energy Management Office. acting together with their buddy rights, they've attained specific abilities
that
beyond what normal humans can do.
Shush.
So then we have a picture of Chidaniku, Red Buster on the bike form of Chidaniku, and then a group shot.
I love how he's like. Never mind. Sorry, wrong picture.
What? Okay.
I was gonna say. Never mind.
All right. Red Buster, able to teleport, legs have been empowered with unbelievable speed, makes Chidaniku his partner. Obviously. Chidaniku, a cheetah type mecha, positive thinker, and though a robot has no sense of direction, he needs Dawson's GPS.
GPS.
Acts like an older brother to Red Buster, able to transform into a motorcycle for Red Buster to ride into battle, where his face becomes the handle and meter. When fighting in robot mode, Niku can also use his rear wheels as handle weapons.
Oh, that is the right picture. I was saying the picture, because mine's cut off of the group picture, but the way Red Buster's standing in that group picture just cracks me up. He's like, hey.
Hey. He's like, sup, foo.
That color doesn't work for you, darling.
So then we have a picture.
Edit mode for Go Bus Red.
God. Got a picture of the Cheetah Niku bike with his face as the speedometer area.
My bike to have a face.
So he can look down and talk to Cheetah Niku without looking like a total douche.
I'm a douche.
Why are you talking to your bike? Because it's got a face right here.
Why are you talking to your crotch?
Oh, right, sorry. Because it's got
So then we have Blue Buster, the faded youth who gained awesome physical strength. Eldest of the Go Busters makes Gorisaki Banana into his partner. There's a giant gorilla-like thing.
Gorisaki Banana. That's how I heard it in my head.
Gorisaki Banana, gorilla-type mecha, faint-hearted character who falls easily and apologizes immediately for it.
Brian?
Yep.
It's going to be fun.
Always worried about Blue Buster, acts as a mechanic in the base. Then lastly, we have Yellow Buster. Girl of Fate who gained incredible kicking and jumping power makes Usada lettuce into her partner. What?
Oh, great. Gorisaki Banana is going to be Scottish.
Robert X's jumping power?
Oh, God. Usada Lettuce, unyielding and selfish, always quarreling with Yellow Buster, works on data management in the control room.
She works on data?
Yep. That's where he went. He had to get a tune-up.
Suddenly I just had a flashback to that rumor about Datus being part of Gokaiger.
I remember that. He was going to turn red or something.
Oh, yeah, that was funny. Oh, the way rumors progress is just funny. I'm thinking back to all those other Gokaiger rumors about Tower Mecha and shit that Kevin had to read right before we got official pictures of Gosei Ultimate. Oh, sorry.
When you guys weren't watching the show at all, yeah.
Oh, snicker. Good times.
So, then we have some pictures of their gear. Gear is equipment the Go Busters use to go into battle and conduct espionage. Ooh. Go Buster suits also carry the spy motif, glasses, and shoulder straps. Indeed, one of the themes of Tokume Sentai Go Busters is spy action. The first Super Sentai Go Ranger had the spy game as a main component, and in a way, Go Busters marks the first new Sentai series, only because it came after an anniversary. So, the Morphin Brace is the changer, which you've taken a look at before. Transformation item, which is equipped on the left arm. By calling out, let's Morphin, transformation is activated. So, from what Kevin read, let's Morphin is the change call, and it's morphing time is, the catchphrase?
It's kind of like, how, they would say, Kaze ni Ikaze, I guess, is the... or what do they use for a catchphrase on the Sentai shows? I don't know.
Well, Go Busters had an Ikaze.
You mean Gokaiger?
Yeah. What did I say?
You said Go Buster.
Wow.
Yeah, how they each have a not the catchphrase that run the roll call, but just the shows, whatever.
No, they're entering into battle phrase.
No, I don't think that's what they mean.
Oh, you mean at the previews and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
That kind of thing, then that would be it's morphine time.
Can you say it's morphine time? Okay, we'll say it's morphine time.
We'll promote drug use.
And then, like we've seen before in the toy scans, we have the Ichigan Buster, which is a reflex camera that transforms into a gun. Has a special function in camera mode. I assume it can take pictures, but... Sogon Blade, binoculars...
It can do anything but take pictures. The Omnitrix can do everything but tell time.
Probably. Sogon Blade binoculars that transform into a sword, and they have a special function in binocular mode, I would assume, being binoculars. But
why would they do binocular things, Brian? That's just stupid.
Ichigan Buster special Buster mode is the two combine to make
Ichijo-san!
Oh, awesome gun. Ichijo-san? Oh, Ichigan, I get it.
Ichijo Buster.
And then on the shoulder straps have the transpod, which is...
A transvestite?
Huh? Yeah. It's transmission equipment which transports different items and weapons to the Go Busters, and then it's also a communicator and voice changer.
I'm a transvestite. Wait, no, I'm not.
And for the staff, which was actually a rumor we had earlier that we never talked about was like a week ago.
Because it was stupid.
Our chief producer is Naomi Takebe, who worked on O's. Our action director is Hirofumi Fukuzawa, which is the general suit actor for Red Warriors. And then our main writer for the show is the ever-lovable Yasuko Kobayashi.
Fuck my life. That's my life moment when Kobayashi is assigned to another show.
So she went from Shinkenger...
From
Den-O to Shinkenger to O's...
To Samurai.
To Samurai. Oh. To this. So. All right. Well, here's the thing. Being a Kobayashi show, I'm probably guaranteed to really like the characters, but there's a chance that the general show is going to be eh.
Yeah.
Based off previous Kobayashi, like, I love the Shinkenger cast, and I like elements of the Shinkenger show, but as far as plot pacing, it sucked.
Yeah, like, the whole middle was just a giant drought of, like, just in the middle. I remember during the summer just being like, oh, this is so boring.
Just like that middle, it always did the same thing. Like, the middle area just sucked.
Like, oh man, look at all that drama and O's. Alright, let's go to the theme park. What?
Oh, God. Like, it's not that I hate her and she doesn't make, like, god-awful shows. It's just kind of, we know her style by now and I'm kind of sick of seeing it. And especially for such a fresh start they have the potential of, that it's just disappointing. That being said, I really, like, now that we're seeing, like, close-ups of everything, I'm really liking the suits, like, even more. Like, I love their shiny visors. Mm-hmm. And I love the spy theme, because I'm, like, a super spy fanboy since Chuck.
Yeah.
I maintain that Usada Lettuce is the best thing ever.
Especially sexist.
She's apparently, like, a fucking bitch.
Yeah. even better.
Well, it's just being accurate to all women. It's just
or at least Lazy Coconut. I'm not a fan of the handlebar design on Chidaniku's head. I mean, like, I understand it needs to be there, because he's a bike, but... It still looks a little funny.
I wish they were tilted to look more like ears.
There we go.
They're just kind of sticking out of his head.
Or they could be tilted down and they could look like instead of pointing up ears, they could look like pointing down ears.
Either direction, really.
Yeah. Just not there.
Although, if this is going to happen, I demand a scene where he's on the fritz and he can't, like, form the bike mode and GoBus Red just jumps on top of him.
Like, straddles him and holds onto the handlebars
and trying to get him to go. Like the, what was it? Booger on top of the grinder, or whatever. I don't remember Japanese names in the moment.
And then Nanashi and the...
Nanashi and the Ugats.
Yeah,
Ugats. Ugats.
Robots!
Ugats.
Speaking of robots...
And
this is something I would like to discuss since it was brought up before, and I just want to talk about it again because it pisses me off.
No, thanks.
some little bitch talking... I wanted to use that phrase, I'm sorry.
O's?
Yeah. Talking about robots don't belong in Sentai? Okay, first of all, that's just a stupid statement in and of itself. But I'm going to take the what I assume to be the correct meaning, which is that like little partner robots don't belong in Sentai. Well, aside from, oh, I don't know, Navi, you know, not enjoying that statement... There's also, let's see, who do we have? Datus. Circuit.
Whatever his Japanese name is.
Yeah, whatever his
Not
Japanese
as cool name. As Circuit. That's his name.
Yeah. Bomper.
Bomb.
And then let's not forget the fact that everyone's, like, beloved 80s Sentai, several of them had robots. Live Man had a robot. Five Man had a robot. I think a couple other ones did, and they're like, oh, robots don't belong in Sentai. But it's got to be like the 80s shows. Well, guess what? 80s Sentai had robots.
Robots.
So, piss off.
They had a robot.
Shut up.
Pokey just asked if I wanted that horse.
Say yes.
What do I do? Hide. Get under the blanket, Brian. No one can see you when you're under a blanket.
I told Brian, him I'd let him know. I'm still thinking.
Say yes to the dress. I mean, horse.
Yes to the dress?
Say, it's a never mind. I'm just going to pretend that didn't happen, and we're going to move on from here.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I like it. I am concerned about Kobayashi. I'm interested to see how our red suit actor does as action director for this show.
I think it'll be... Well, Excuse me.
I think it'll be...
Oh. Weird hiccup thing going on there.
Ryan tried to throw up on me.
But I think it's going to be nice. Because, yeah, I mean, he obviously has a lot of experience doing stunt work, so...
Yeah, he's been doing...
I don't think it's going to be like Koichi levels of awesome. Which I wonder if he's still going to be doing anything on GoBusters. Or whether he was just there for Gokaiger. But
well, Koichi's been doing Forze.
He came back for those Gokaiger episodes. Forze. Stupid Forze, taking everything from me.
But,
First my soul, and now... I said Kokami.
I didn't know it took your soul, Dowsum. Jeez. Oh, God, no!
Dowsum?
No!
Who's Dowsum?
Shut up.
That's my evil hick cousin. It's like that episode of Hannah Montana.
But, like, I mean, I'm skeptical about the whole Kobayashi thing, like everyone else is, but... I'm going to give it a chance, of course, because I love the suit designs. I mean, I love the fact that they introduced a new material to the suits, the leather, while still retaining a very spandex-like look.
Yeah, like, I feel like you can take them a little more seriously now. Like, you show them to your friends, like, we're wearing spandex. No, it's leather.
God.
That is not spandex, freaks out on child.
I like their helmets.
Yeah, I love their helmets now.
I know. Like, I love how they're
now that the visors have a more refined look to them than... they did before. I mean, it's the same look, obviously, but...
And I maintain...
you can't really tell before.
I maintain that if they were to combine, those three would turn into a badass Perceptor.
Indeed.
But I... After seeing these three and such, I'm really curious to know how we're going to get additional members and what they're going to look like and such, because that's going to be fun and interesting, and I'm hoping they're as cool as these guys. And can be integrated well. Yeah. And if we're going to have kind of a mecha gimmick, like, how that would even work? You know, like the additional whatevers, if they do that.
Oh, right. So I was going to say, the only gimmick we really got going on right now is the fact that they're turning into header-like things.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a chance they could use that later into that they could somehow get the headers to go onto other type of vehicles.
Yeah.
I could see them do that happening.
Like, especially if they get an upgrade.
Yeah. Upgrade!
GoBusters.
Ultimate GoBus thingy. Oh, what is it called? Is it called GoBusso?
GoBustero.
Oh, GoBusso sounds kind of funnier.
GoBusso.
Stop molesting your microphone. Chris did that last week. Bit's done.
Bit's done.
He molested a microphone? That's gross.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm still really looking forward to it. Like Brian said, at the very least, we'll at least like some of the characters.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get the Date cameo, you never know.
I mean, I've never really hated all the characters of a Kobayashi show. So, because, I mean, I like the Shinkendra cast, I like the Oz cast.
She did give us, I forgot. Kogami, there we go. She did give me
Kobayashi and stuff, so.
But you think about it, though, she's kind of perfect for something like this, because it's like the PR. It's not the equivalent of Denno, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's the thing, is we should have known, seeing as how... We got Buddy Roids. Like, it should have been obvious. Like, oh, look at Kobayashi.
I thought that was rumored a long time ago that Kobayashi was doing it.
I think they rumored it, but then, like, nobody ever brought it up again.
There's a rumor every year Kobayashi did do next Sentai, next writer. Probably because it's just, like, a 50% chance, so they just throw it out there.
Yeah. That's the thing, is, like, is she going to come back and do the writer after Forze? We're all just going to slur our own throats.
It'll be the one after Forze, when we have the sixth gimmick.
Show after...
Show after Gokaiger. Oh, that's fantastic.
Show Dawson after
Dawson has no
Gokaiger.
Idea what we're talking about.
Candy toy box.
What? Where did candy toy box? Best candy
Ami
toy
Ami
box.
Ami had a listing, and instead of listing it as Go Busters candy toy box, listed it as Show After Gokaiger.
Like, we don't even care about this shit. Gokaiger's over. Ami Ami's in mourning.
Are we moving on yet?
Yeah, I think that's about all. I'm excited.
That's about all.
At the very least, the toys will look cool on the shelf.
Indeed.
All right, so moving on to...
are going to look awesome!
Oh, God, I cannot wait.
Don't forget, Power Rangers 2017, Carmichael Industries.
Figure Arts Buddyroids? Oh, God. Anyway, I need to change my pants, and then we're going to talk about Forze. We got stuff with the Magphone and Ryusei and some scans and stuff. We got a picture of Gintaro pointing at some dude who I believe is Ryusei.
He points at everyone when he meets them.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So we see the mag phone, and it's looking all cool. Or sort of. We see the NNS design, which looks cool, but the rest of it with the switches sticking out looks kind of derp. We see that in the 17th episode, Gintaro's going to befriend Ryusei Sakuda, a.k.a. Meteor. The front and back of the phone, blah, blah, blah. We see a problem when he first tries to transform. He just gets two small magnets on the slots. And then we see a picture of the wheel switch being used in conjunction with magnet states, looking just stupid. And then we see him with the hand switch. It looks like he's holding the hand, which is... I'm just going to move on from that and not even comment because of how stupid that is.
He can shake his own hand.
He's doing the friendship shake with his own foot. He's best friend with his foot. Foot, I know you've done a lot of bad things like murder, but we're friends now.
And then we see the gun turrets, the N-magnet cannon and S-magnet cannon mounted on his shoulders.
Defender of truth.
Damn it, Lianbell, you're such an attention hog. He's the unofficial fourth host.
They can combine into Rider Super Electromagnetic Bomba.
Bombom?
That he can control using the magnet switches as a joystick. Yes, but can I use my penis as a joystick? That's the real question. Then we see a box containing the Meteor Driver. And it says, the driver and switch are inside a gift box. Did Ryusei receive the Meteor Driver from the same person who gave Kengo the switch to unlock the door of cosmic energy to the rabbit hatch?
He got it from Premium Bandai.
He probably did. We see Meteor transforming in his bike, and it says he's a mysterious transfer student who turns into Meteor in public, because that's stupid. We see his bike, the machine Meteor Star, which looks okay, I guess. Let's see. It's a first for him to transform in public because he follows the same code of most con writers who keep their action identities a secret, sort of similar how to most Showa writers act. He's also a member of the Anti-Zodiarts Union. Oh, great. There's going to be some dues and some busting of some skulls to join the union for Gintaro.
Occupy Zodiarts.
I know. I wonder if he can he opt out of the union? That's what I want to know. But then he'll probably have to live in a van in Australia, like, because they're not going to give him a hotel. He's given support from the satellite M-Bus and a mysterious being called Tachibana-san! He started fighting against Zodiarts in order to save his best friend, and he's willing to cooperate with 4Zs in the battle against the Zodiarts. So we see Tachibana, who's voiced by the narrator of the show, who's a mysterious being living in the satellite M-Bus, which is Meteor Backup Satellite, and works as a support to Meteor. He is the support. It is unknown whether he is a robot or man behind the mask. We also see a picture next to Tachibana of the Meteor Galaxy and whole Wankoff. It says he's likely a homage. He's a homage to Tobei Tachibana, Takashi Hongo, a.k.a. Ichigo's mentor and racing coach. He then becomes a mentor figure to Riders number 2 through Stronger, to whom he was affectionately called Oya-san! We also see Gintaro fighting both Libra and Scorpio. To fight Forze. We can see Libra without his cloak looking somewhat cool. Then we see Virgo, who is going to make a debut in the 18th episode. She was already in the Megamax movie fighting Forze and Kamen Rider Hobich. And then we see the Kamen Rider Club preparing for battle, wearing their frilly red jackets with fur on them. And they're like, we all match. We're cool guys. Except for Jake, because he wants to be different. And then there's some summaries. We see them in camouflage. Somewhere around the 20th episode, they're going to get magnet states based on the summary. So, I don't know. I like magnet states. The phone... Parts of it look okay. Parts of it look stupid. Whole Wankoff, well, yeah, that's self-explanatory. The wheel switch and the hand switch, I'm going to just slit my throat from here on out. So, Meteor looks awesome, though. Meteor is just awesome.
What?
And I'm interested about this whole Tachibana-san character and how he's going to interact with Principal Garen person. And also the baby... And also the baby Garen of Fire State. It's just a giant... Like, I don't know what's going on, but I'm scared.
Like, Kenzaki runs in, Tachibana-san! And then both the Tachibanas look... And then Kenzaki just passes out. And then we have Coach Ro just drinking milk.
Just dies.
Anyway. Scene. Okay, scene's over. I like Magnet says I fine, I'm done. I still don't like Magnet States. Like, I like the when I saw
Get
the
out.
Better, but God damn it, the better pictures. I like the silvery kind of color he's got going on, but just the giant ass head just gets me. Like, I just don't like it. The cannons are cool, but I just don't like it in general. I don't really care for the phone. What else did we talk about? I don't really care for Holank off, and the new switches are stupid. I like the elements we're reading about with Meteor. Like, it sounds a little more serious, like that he's part of this organization or whatever, and it sounds interesting. I just hope he doesn't go way off forever, but that's for later. But yeah, like, I think that it sounds interesting.
Evil.
But I like the elements that he might add to it, and I'm hoping it keeps my interest a little bit more. Brian?
Pretty
Which
much
Skylander are you using?
Pretty much Igniter.
Oh, isn't he cool?
Yeah, he's awesome. He's got a fire sword. He's a flame swordsman.
Flame swordsman. Wait, do I get the fuse for that? Shut the fuck up. That's Joey's real voice.
To my red eyes, Black Dagon. Black Dagon.
Baby Turragon.
I meant to...
Baby Turrets.
I'm feeling the flow. Well, you wouldn't be if you took this pill. May cause death. Sorry, that's enough. I'm sorry, I couldn't stop myself.
May cause death.
That's what happens. They're like, these period pills might cause stroke or heart attack.
Yeah, they cause you a blood clot because of the way it works.
You may kill yourself.
Anyway, they're talking about periods.
Suicide.
You may kill yourself from the pain it puts you in.
But anyway, Magnet States, I don't mind it so much anymore. The giant head is still kind of funny. But
meanwhile, Brian's making babies.
I like the whole canon... and things and stuff. I like cannons.
I'm getting an angry text message from Kat now. Why would you say that on the podcast?
About what? Which thing? There's a list I have here. Inappropriate comments made by Kevin. Wait, it's a book.
It unrolls like Santa's naughty or nice list. Just being brought in by 30 FedEx trucks.
I still can't get over the hand switch on the leg.
Oh, that's stupid.
He's shaking hands with his hand switch.
They should have used that in this episode when one of his hands was immobile, so he at least have two hands.
That would have made too much sense.
You whore! You filthy whore!
What'd you do?
Toad just beat me.
Toad. The picture here in the corner of Magnet States next to, like, the horseshoe magnet. Cannon thingy. Looks pretty cool from that angle.
Mm-hmm.
His head doesn't look as ginormous.
I like Magnet States, fine. I like that he...
I like things with cannons on their shoulders, so...
You love Blastoise?
Yes.
Me too!
Like Charizard more, but...
Shut up.
Who doesn't like Blastoise?
Blastoise is probably like my favorite water starter just because he's got fucking cannons on his shoulders.
Mine too. Everyone loves Charizard, though. That's just, like, stupid.
But he's a dragon.
I understand that.
He's not an actual dragon, but...
Exactly. It's just stupid to like something that everyone else likes. Oh, wait.
But Charizard is still cool.
That's Lazy Coconut. I hate it because everyone else likes it. What?
Well.
I hate life because people are happy.
Oh, Lazy Coconut.
No, I hate life, Brian. Remember, that's my line.
But I mean,
here we go.
As for the...
Brian just growled.
Meteor's whole storyline and everything involving him, like, I'm optimistic about it. Seeing him in episode 16 that we'll talk about later gives me a very, very
big boner. Yeah,
skeptic vibe.
Skeptic. There we go. That's the word I was looking for. Vibe. Like, I'm excited because I love the suit, and I'm still kind of iffy on the voice. I still need to deal with it a little bit more to decide. But like his entire thing with the whole organization and Tachibana-san. the Meteor Galaxy itself is pretty cool, regardless of the voice. But like his whole thing is really cool. I don't know the Bruce Lee noises.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh fuck! That's what I'm like.
But it's cool to see Scorpion come back. Maybe. I mean, that could just be an illusion from Libra, but
I just want to see Hot Teacher again.
She ain't going anywhere, so... No, he'll wank off Liz.
Wanking off, yeah.
He's a wanker.
He's a blanker!
Virgo looks like frosting, and...
I'm excited to get more of those people.
I'm trying to figure out why they're in army uniforms in those bottom
pictures. Yes. I don't know.
Whatever.
Don't question it, just hate it.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's what Dawson does with Forze. He just immediately hates it because it's Forze.
No, I'm not that bad. I just...
Yes,
not old writer. I'm so bitter now.
That's what watching Agito does to you.
I know, exactly.
Watching Agito makes everything else except, like, double suck. Yeah. And everything else that's not sucky.
Oh, well, thanks for
everything
that, Brian.
Everything else is
not Forze. Well, we'll see how it goes. It should be pretty fun, I think. Hopefully. God, I hope.
Yeah. So now on to some actual news. Power Rangers Samurai game. So we've got a new game for the iOS, Power Rangers Samurai Steel. If you don't know what it is, it's exactly like that movie Real Steel, but with Power Rangers Samurai. It's kind of like a 3D... I only have to play
it
for like 4 seconds.
In it?
If anyone's played Infinity Blade, it plays pretty much exactly like that.
You come up to guys and you slash them. And then they play the music really loud, so someone's like, turn it down! And then I panic and click the home button. I haven't played it since.
Is Hugh Jackman in it?
But the graphics...
No, it doesn't.
Well, then it's not like Real Steel.
Is Hugh Jackman in it? No, it doesn't.
I thought you said, does it have Hugh Jackman in it? No, it doesn't.
But, like, well, the few minutes I played, the graphics do look really good, and it was free, so...
Yeah. I always enjoy free.
And, like, the production...
It's only got one level. It's got basically the first episode. It's got the one with Rofer in it.
But I was, like, impressed by what I saw, though, just, like, with the music in it, and then they have, like, clips from the show, kind of like, I guess, the game has or whatever. So I was impressed with that. Yeah. I'll probably play it a little more. I just have to comment... Like, there's not much to comment on this little picture we have on the site, but I love how Mike looks like he just lost his sword. And he's just like, alright, I'll just use my fist. I'll kick it old school. And then Mia's just like, I'm feeling the blow! That's all I got.
That's all I did there.
I just thought it was funny because everyone has weapons and Mike's just like, okay, let's go.
Let's do it.
I see where he went there. She's feeling the blow because she loves to blow the man she loves.
Exactly.
I mean, blow him away. Too late, bitch.
No,
I said
blow
it.
Blow him toward me or something.
Okay, so next little tidbit,
tidbit
of Power Rangers news is the next Morph Phenomenon, which will be on January 6th, which is the time for Dino Thunder. So I'm pretty excited
power
about that.
Power up, huh? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Except Tommy doesn't do the power up, he goes, just grunts. But so yeah, it's going to be the next Dino Thunder one, and then they'll just spam the shit out of it until I'm sick of seeing it, like Jungle Fury. Love Jungle Fury, but I've seen it about 8 times now.
And that's just on Nicktoons.
Like, I'm excited for this. I kind of like how they're doing it with, like, the event and then probably putting it, not like the show that no one fought for, but, like, the event of the marathon and then, like, transitioning it into the schedule. But I still kind of wish they would just, just do Morph Phenomenon as a block and then just, do Jetix and just air them from Day of the Dumpster to RPM's ending episode, which I'm having a horrible time remembering again.
What, season one?
No, RPM, yeah, Day of the Dumpster.
RPM's was something about Fate.
Yeah, Fate of Fakes. Whatever.
Danger and Destiny.
Danger and Destiny, yeah. So yeah, I just wish they'd do that. But
that
it's
has
still,
nothing to do with Fate.
Well, Destiny, Fate, anyway. What was I saying? Oh yeah, but I'm still glad we're finally getting the reruns at least.
Yeah.
That's good news.
You told me you wanted to touch me inappropriately and I said
no,
you cannot sexually harass me.
As long as I'm not doing anything that day, I'll probably have it on.
Yeah. I'm excited about Dino Thunder because it's Dino
Thunder.
It's been
a while since I've seen Dino Thunder.
Hey lady, you're going to watch Dino Thunder.
Those are my glasses.
Hey lady, those are my keys.
Keys?
Keys.
Those are my keys.
Those are main keys.
Mankeys. Oh my god!
Hey lady, those are mankeys. That's a primate. No, it's a mankey. Primates are just bigger mankeys.
Ash forgot what a primate is because he gave us away to some guy.
I'm gonna come back for you, I promise.
I'll come back.
What? That's what you said for Butterfree and Pidget and everyone else, you bitch!
Probably thought this Pidget was real. Wolves. Alright, I'm done.
Yep, it should be fun. It's been a while since I've seen Dino Thunder, so I'm looking forward to catching some episodes.
I watched a little bit of it for the R&R, but I didn't get to watch all of it, so it wasn't like Jungle Fury, where it was actually fairly recent, that I just watched the whole thing in 5 days or something like that.
Kamen Rider Force! Eh? Alright, so, I never know what episode we're on. 44. Jesus, how did we get this far, Brian? 44 already?
I don't know. It still baffles me. Baffle.
Alright, well, the episode starts off where we find out that, Zangief, you're gonna go do more fighting and hit on some stupidness. They're just being gay. But the Gokai just are oh my god, our bounties went up. And Navi's like, oh my god, they got a bounty!
It's adorable, Kevin.
And, all right. Navi got a bounty. Basco and Sally have bounties. Everyone's got a bounty. It's like an Oprah show. You've got a bounty! You've got a bounty! Look under your seats. Everyone's got a bounty!
Everyone's like, oh shit.
Welcome to the show, Captain Marvelous!
Out comes Hakusei.
I hope they cancel Oprah. You take that back.
Out comes Hakusei. I'm in love with Katie Holmes. I'm not gay. I'm home. Where were we? Oh, right. So then Guy just bursts in it's Christmas time, Christmas tree. Zoop. They're like, Christmas?
Zeep.
What's the sound of him putting the tree down? Zoop.
Zoop.
That's how I heard it in my head. And they were like, Christmas? And then just walking around, they run into Santa, who looks eerily like Gavin. I'm not sure. And some dancing panda. I think one of the Geki Ranger pandas went on a diet and showed up here.
Probably.
And so they see some kids putting together a snowman. What the fuck am I saying? The Christmas tree.
Snowman. That's not a snowman, Kevin.
Shut up. Guy saves some kid, and they run into Zangief, and because he shows up and he's turning people into dolls, and he turns stupid little kid into a doll, and he's going to turn stupid little kid's sister into a doll, and Guy's like, no, and jumps in the way, and he turns into a doll, and it's all adorable, and Milfie's like, no. And then the other four, rappel in, because they're just that kind of awesome. And they start fighting. And, so there's some dude with a drive smasher or something. I don't know. He's got a giant mallet. And then they get away, and they're like, Guy, no! And then, so, Milfie's talking to the chicken, and they're going to make a doll of Milfie or something. Meanwhile, the other four are fighting and doing things. And they're like, we're gonna stop you, Zangief, and they're like, LOL, no. And then Milfie runs in and is like, I got this, bitch! And she pretends to get shot and then throws the doll out, and then the guy's like, this is a trick, stupid. And so he turns Milfie into a doll, and you're like, no, Milfie! No, Milfie! No. And then stupid kid sister shows up, and she turns into Gokai Yellow, and then grabs the stick and is like, lulled, and then turns everyone back from a doll into a person. And then Guy snaps the stick in half, and it's like, haha, bitch. And so then they, where's my keys? Oh, fuck, I lost them all. Then they Gokai change. Oh, I know what I forgot. I forgot the part where they transformed earlier. Just because I want to make this noise.
Cox.
It said Cox.
I know, right? I'm like a child. I wanted to say Cock Ranger on the show. God, I'm stupid. So, they start fighting. They're like, hey, let's do an all yellow change because we want to make KO hard in pants. They're like, okay. So they're like, yeah.
Party Kinja!
There we go. So we got, what, Tiger Ranger, Kieran Ranger.
They did a lot more smoothly like that in the show.
Shut up. Gao Yellow, Ghostly Yellow. I think that was everyone. I don't know anymore. Boken Yellow, fuck it. So they start doing all the cool attacks. Tiger Daggers and Kagenomais and all that fun stuff. Rock Crush. They started just poning these dudes, right? It was pretty cool. Despite the fact they're yellows and KO likes them. But it was cool when they transformed because all their little symbols popped up, and that was nice. And so they did that fight, and they're like, hey, let's do this because it'll make Dawson happy.
Ah,
apparently Santa dances, so they're gonna dance too. I don't know what that means, but so
those dancing Santa thingies that are outside chops are like dee, 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 dee.
Yeah, so they start fighting with their battle feverness and they're dancing around, and then Guy gets all sad because he's left out. So he's like, hey, Marvelous Hakase, give me your keys. And they're like, what? Alright, I guess. So he has like a little dream sequence again where he sees them like hold hands and make gay love or something, and then it's all
Merry Christmas.
And they like combine together somehow into Gokai Christmas, so it's like half red, half green. And so then he starts fighting, and then they do some kind of like combined attack killing them thing with like battle fever rods or something. I don't know, it was kind of creepy.
Well, battle fever is creepy.
And that dude grew giant. And they summoned Goju Drill and Gokai-O. There was some Gokai Starbursts going on. There was a Goju Rex at some point. Magi Dragon came in and blasted them. Furai Maru and Galion showed up. They made Kanzen Gokai-O, and then they blasted them with everything like they did last time, because that's the cool thing to do now. And then, so they
sorry.
Damn it, Liambo. So they beat the monster. They're back having a little Christmas party get together. It's not snowing, so Luca's like, I got this. Turns into Magic Mother, makes it snow. They're like, oh, you make it snow!
Like, more! Ah, snow!
And then we see that Santa turned out to be, the dancing Santa turned out to be Battle Kenya.
Kenji Oba. Kenji Oba's in every role now. In the Santa Claus 4, Kenji Oba.
Yeah. And so they go back on the Gokai Garion, and the chest opens and it's glowing because the Battle Fever Jake keys are glowing. They got the Battle Fever Jake power, and they don't know how. And then they see it's actually snowing outside, and Guy flips a biscuit, and then it ends. It was
craving biscuits now.
For a Christmas episode, it was pretty good, I guess. The little dolls of Luca and Guy were adorable. I would like to know how to go about purchasing one of these for everyone, because that would just be epic.
For everyone? That's going to be a tall order.
All six of them. And,
no, I thought you meant, like, give Guy and Milfy doll to everyone, like, on Earth.
Oh,
that's
no.
That's the way I heard it. Like Santa. Like, I didn't mean, like, never mind. I'll just shut up now. Thank you.
Lol's Dawson is stupid.
That's what the vlog says.
And it's accurate. But that was a pretty good episode. There was some fighting, and Battle Fever J was fun to fight as. All yellow change actually wasn't that bad. It was pretty neat, I guess.
I just like the all color changes.
Yeah, and using all the different powers and stuff together is pretty neat. But next episode's like an all lion change or something, which is going to be interesting to see.
They do a lot of weird ones next episode, trying to appease Ninja Man.
Is it all blue?
He's pretty finicky.
Stuff.
I mean, they crossed the Desert of Despair to find him. You'd think he'd be, you know, kind of impressed by that.
Looks in no way like Southern California. So yeah, like, oh, Brian's going to go first.
He can go first.
I was just going to say that, there's not really a whole lot to say. Like, I just found it to be an entertaining episode. It wasn't like a Zom-terrific episode like the last two, but it wasn't, like, terribly bad. It was just a nice, enjoyable episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was an episode that was fun to just kind of kick back and watch without having to be, like, all on the edge of your seat going, oh my god, is he gonna live?
And, like, really thinking about what they say or whatever, like, really paying attention. It was just kind of a nice, entertaining episode.
Particularly Gokai Christmas, like...
Yeah, that was just funny. Like, how do you make it? You just go, jingle bells, jingle bells.
jingle bells, suck my balls all day.
And they got the ultimate Christmas present. They didn't have to do a Battle Fever J. Battle Fever? Batter. Fuck. Battle Fever J tribute. They just got that as a Christmas present.
Yep.
Like, what would you tribute for Battle Fever J? Like,
they would be molesters that sneak into people's rooms and touch them inappropriately and then murder them. Like, Battle Japan doesn't look so bad, but the others just kind of creep me out, in particular Captain America. Miss America. Like, they just they look like when you see, like, serial killers' creepy masks. They freak me out.
I like them, so I don't know what your problem is. I think you're just a homosexual.
It's a part of my brain that is normal.
No part of your brain is normal, Dawson. Just saying.
I want a figure of Gokai Christmas.
Shut up,
they'll make it. They'll make it. They made Axel Extreme. They will make it, and I will buy it. The question is, do I only bring it out at Christmas? What do I do? What do you do in those inclement weather? What do you wear? I'm sorry. I'm so stopped.
It was fun. Like, I like the fact that someone else changed into Gokai Yellow.
Oh yeah,
yeah, that's cool.
I didn't expect that. Like I said in our private discussions, I thought that she, Milfi, had used like one of the Ranger keys to like create a copy of herself, like a ninja one or like a, you know, a Tenso technique or maybe like a fake magic person or something. Mm. I didn't expect what's her face to change into Gokai Yellow. That was cool. Like, I like how her brother's just like wasn't like, "Oh, you're Gokai Yellow." He was just like, "Hey, give me some love."
Hey. Rad times.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, should we talk about Forze now?
Yep.
I'm rubbing it.
Okay, so when we start up, Forze's still fighting Perseus, and he turns one of Forze's arms to stone. And then Perseus just kind of runs off to go finish his painting. Like, how are you going to do that in the full monsters? Okay.
So then, okay,
he's gone.
He's like, so fuck you, I paint.
Fuck you, I paint. That's his slogan. So then we have the Kamen Rider Club discussing how they're going to fix this before he stays a Zodiac forever. And then Gintaro was like, oh, my arm. And he's like, it doesn't work and stuff. And then they test out the pen switch and Forze's like, this is stupid. It's not even on my hand. And we're all like, thank you. And then he's like, well, I think I'm going to go try to help this guy, and I'll take Flash Shake because no one ever uses him. And then he leaves. And then he challenges him to an art-off after he finds him, and he makes a really shitty art-off. Yes, that's what it says.
Art-off?
A hard-off, yes. Never mind, I had a dirty joke, and I decided not to use it. So they have an art-off, and Gintaro makes a really shitty painting, but Motoyama can't tear it because he put his heart into it. That, and he probably just wasn't strong enough. And then this fake Forze shows up, and he's like, Uchu, guitar. And then Forze transforms, and it takes him forever to figure out that it's Libra, because it's stupid. And then him and Perseus, like, team up on him and turn him to stone, allegedly. And then we cut to the kindergarten, where the Glee Club is singing hits such as Jingle Bells and Hayabusa-kun. Some of my favorite holiday hits
Boku from no Hayabusa-kun.
I demand that's on now. That's Christmas Hits Volume 5. So then, like, Perseus can't handle it, and he just gets ready to blow up the school when he sees, like, I guess it was his old drawing. He's like, look, they all made shitty drawings, too, and that reminds me of Gintaro's shitty drawing. Wait, they have the same potential. Anyway. So then he just kind of sits there, and then Gintaro shows up. He's like, you didn't put your full heart into it, and the writers couldn't think of a reason why I'd be unthought out, so I'm here. And then they do the handshake, which I feel like Gintaro would start bleeding, because, like, Perseus has, like, some serious spikes on his wrist. Like, no joke. And then, what's his name? Libra shows up, and he's like, well, fine, you'll just be a puppet. I'll just put this little white mask over your face, and you'll go crazy. I think he wasn't, like, under a spell. I think he just couldn't see, and he just got crazy. So he goes off Forze and stuff, and then he gets overwhelmed by them. And, but then Meteor shows up, and he's like, hey, I'm going to be cool. And then he's like, whoa! I'm like, oh, fuck. And then... Okay. And then the group shows up
funny.
And they're like, look, the pen switch has a use, it can do stuff. And he's like, okay, I'll use it. And then he uses it, and they're like, That's a great summary. They use it, and then he uses it. Anyway, and then Rocket and Drill have recharged, so he uses that, and he limit breaks them all classic style. And then Meteor's all being stupid, like, wah, wah, and then he actually does something cool, and punches him with a planet, and then he rides off like, I'm way too cool for you. I'm like, no, you're not. Sorry. I thought you were going to be, but you weren't. And then they just start celebrating Christmas, and Forze's decorating the moon with Christmas decorations, and then it ends. Well, right. It was okay episode. It was not, like, it was an okay episode.
We have more to say next week. Oh,
oh yeah, I remember those days. Anyway, like, it wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. Him painting as a Zodiac kind of freaked me out a little bit. I liked that it kind of delved more into the concept of the Zodiac of like the him verging on losing his humanity. Even if like the reasons were stupid. The pen switch was just kind of dumb, especially when it turned into a mop switch in the second half. And Meteor, like Brian said when we were talking about earlier, I love his suit, and I was like, oh man, this could be the episode where Forze turns it around for me. Nope, didn't happen. Like, I'm like, he's gonna be the shining beacon of hope, and then he was like, wah, wah. Like, literally, so I was like, oh shit, Forze, you son of a bitch.
You trolled me.
I know, and I didn't really care for the Meteor Galaxy voice much either. Brian pretty much just said my thoughts right before I was going to say it on Twitter. It was ridiculous. But, like, I can't really give a full, like, well-rounded impression of him because he hasn't even debuted in human form or anything. But, like,
debuted?
I just... Yes. That's a word. It's going to be a thing.
Debuted?
Yeah, debuted. That's going to be a thing. I just told you it. Anyway, like, I can't really say until he makes his full debut, but... Like, it was kind of a bad first impression for me, personally.
Yeah.
That planet thing was awesome, though, huh?
Yeah.
Giant fucking planet bashing his Libra in the face.
Woohoo!
Right.
That's right in the background.
So...
Waku no name wa hai
yabusakun. Hai yabusakun.
Japanese Matt was back.
Oh my god. High minds.
Oh, Japanese Matt.
Yes.
Aw, shit.
So, like, I enjoyed last week's better for some reason. I think it just felt less more epic. Oh. And, like, the whole backstory thing. Basically, include backstory in an episode and you got my watch, but...
Watch.
Watch. Watch? I hand you the watch.
It's like, my own watch, Brian.
It's
I don't
my
need
watch
books.
Of approval. That's good.
But, like, I mean, I liked Meteor. Like, I liked everything. And, like I said earlier, I'm not sure about the whole Meteor Galaxy voice yet because it's all, like, perfect English. I'm like, oh, this is weird. But,
yes, I want broken, retarded English.
Well, that's what I hear out of all the characters. It's what
this
I expect out of the technology, too.
They're just jealous.
This is a pen.
Pen. On. That's a mop.
Mop on.
Mop.
Right, Brian? This is a pen.
This is a pen.
Thank you, Jake.
Goku and Vegeta. Oh, wait, that's next. Sorry.
They go hang.
They go hang.
Hey, Ming. Hey, Gohan.
Alright, so, I mean, I don't know. I liked it. I mean, okay, first of all, that little, oh, I wanted to stab him. I don't care if it's like, oh, he's fighting like Bruce Lee. No, fuck that. Alright, that's just stupid. I'm sorry. That's just...
I don't even think he was fighting like Bruce Lee. He was just sounding like a tart face.
I'm like a douchebaggery.
You go do that on the street, or anywhere, in fact.
Like, that'd be fine for, like, a martial arts-themed rider, but he's not.
Yeah.
Anywhere that there's another human soul that you're fighting, you're gonna get laughed away like a retard. Like, what are you doing?
It just seems like an unnecessary quirk.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not gonna be like, oh my god, you're trying to fight like Bruce Lee, you're awesome. It's like, no, you're just a douche, lol. And but yeah, Penn needs to go die in a hole. Although, like, they're holding up the giant metal Baka letters and he's like, "What are you calling me stupid?" Like, you just proved it, that's right. Like, you just showed us why we should call you stupid, asshole. But the rest of it, I mean, I don't know. I guess seeing that you can pull back from being about to go as crazy psychopath, that's interesting, I guess.
Like, I was going to say that it's good that they got him before he did anything too serious, but then I remembered he committed an act of terrorism last episode. Like, trying to throw down a building?
Yeah, well. I mean, watching the Glee Club and Japanese Mats sing Hayabusa-kun made my day. I don't know. It's not too bad. I'm hoping that, I don't know, man, that human meteor's got some interesting things going on with him that'll make it not retarded. But
hopefully. I was hoping last week, but I don't know anymore, man.
The thing that bothers me is that...
This is an Agito. Same here. Oh, sorry.
I'm so glad you let me speak.
So good.
This is the part where he reminds me that I always cut him off, but... and I just did it for him. And so, no, is that the whole first few episodes was really no story because... Or because I don't know. I didn't write the show. But no story because we're introducing all the members of the Kamen Rider Club or whatever, Glee Japanese version. And so then we finally start a story or something. And then the very next thing we do, now we have all the members of the Kamen Rider Club, is Second Rider. I'm like, oh, God, when does the story start? What is?
Yeah.
Maybe Meteor is the story.
Okay, it'll be like Zeronos. He'll be Zeronos to Deno.
Like, that's a Kobayashi show. The secondary writer has all the story. Like, that's what just weird about this. I'm like, well, wait, what? You didn't start the story yet. Where does he fit?
Yeah, you look fucking tight, bro.
Like, where does he fit?
Banto.
I heard her say Banto.
Shenron?
Shenron hit her. It was so funny. That's what I heard. Poor Kevin.
But yes. So I don't know what's going on, but either here or in 4A. I think there's a Hayabusa-kun somewhere. I don't know.
This is a little satellite floating around my
house. Be popular.
There's a satellite that floats around your house and just Boku no name e wa Hayabusa-kun.
But yes. But yeah, that's my thing, is like, we had no story, we still have no story. We don't know what's going
on.
Anymore.
If it wasn't for like the rumors telling us about the whole organization and Tachibana and the fact that there might be a connection between whoever gave Kengo the repainted launcher switch.
That was his dad. We said that already. Like, he said, like, he got a present from his dad.
Okay.
And it was that thing, so...
That's dumb. I don't know. I'm trying to, like, pull straws for a story here.
Yeah. Like, I especially... Even with that... Well, I guess with the story, too, but I wish we just waited a little bit to get the secondary writer, because it seems like as soon as we start to get a little bit comfortable with the situation, a new element's always introduced.
Like, I mean...
Well, we need to get his toys in time for Christmas. Oh, wait.
Like, episode-wise, I think they're at the right number. It's just that they took so long to get started...
Yeah.
Because of all the characters that... Okay, now that we finally have all the characters together and we established the villains a little bit, bam, Second Rider.
Yeah. Bam.
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 But I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But I don't know. The pacing of this show is just really weird to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty strange. It's a really strange show all around.
Yeah.
Hayabusa-kun.
Oh my god, this should have been the title. It will be at some point, I have no doubt. There'll be a time where I can't think of something clever enough and I'll just have to steal something.
That'll be fun. Boku no name wa Hayabusa-kun.
Hayabusa-kun.
Brian, stop. Background. I'm just sitting here. I'm one of the kindergartners.
Yay!
It's like going apeshit. What is their problem?
So now it's time for Samurai Summary. Oh no,
I still don't know when I'm gonna have a job again.
Maybe February, maybe.
Just like real life.
Pretty much.
Brian's chronically unemployed.
I just tweeted the best tweet ever.
Let me go see it.
I can't because I'm playing Mario Kart.
I have to refresh because something about Aerosol being frustrated again.
His internet's broken.
Oh, okay. Oh my god. Stupid Hayabusa-kun. He's Hayabusa-kun can do no wrong because Hayabusa-kun is Shoichi-kun.
Oh god.
Indeed.
Okay, so is it time for RR and RR Dragon Ball Z?
RR and RR.
Are we ready to do Dragon, Dragon, Rock the Dragon?
Or Rock the Dragon?
Release a deep energy.
Made of a deep energy.
Energy.
Flows all around.
So, to start off, as we said last week, the first entry in the Dragon Ball Z RR and RR is going to be the Saiyan Saga.
Yep.
So I guess it starts with a quick summary. So we pick up where Dragon Ball left off. We'll be doing Dragon Ball at the end, so lols for people that haven't seen it yet. So Goku's like, hey, Gohan, we should go see my friends because I haven't called or spoke to them in like 5 years because I'm an ass. So he takes Gohan to see all his friends on Master Roshi's island when Raditz shows up and he's like, I'm your brother. I'm Victor Lord Jr. And he's like, you're from an evil race of Saiyans who loves to fight. And he's like, come help me kill people. And Goku's like, no. He's like, fine, I'll just take your son. And then he punches Goku in the stomach and bitch slaps Krillin with his tail and just runs off. And then Piccolo shows up. And Piccolo, if you don't know, is Goku's sworn enemy from the last series. And he offers to team up with Raditz.
And he's green.
Raditz, Goku, to fight Raditz. Yes, that's very important. He's green. To team up with Goku to take down Raditz. So they go down to go fight Raditz and save Gohan, and Raditz is like super powerful and they can hardly take him, so the only way to defeat him is for Goku to basically sacrifice himself while Piccolo does special beam cannon.
Special beam cannon!
I'm sorry.
And then Piccolo does the classic villain mistake of monologuing, and Raditz, he records it all and sends it to his other Saiyan companions, and then the other two, Nappa and Vegeta, are going to head to Earth in a year. So training begins. Tien, Krillin, Yamcha, and Chiaotzu and Yar Jirobe. They go train up at Kami's place, and Goku trains in the other world with King Kai, and Gohan trains under Piccolo. So they all train for a year, and Gohan and Piccolo bond, and Bubbles is all like, I'm a monkey, and then there's a dog in the background, and then Gregory is like, I'm Gregory. Wow, that was great.
That was beautiful.
Thank you. So then after a year,
or
after almost a year, the Saiyans arrive earlier than expected, which would have been a huge shock, but the guide told me the title of the episode, that the Saiyans arrive sooner than expected. Like, well, I guess the Saiyans are coming back next episode. So they arrive and they start fucking shit up, so they're forced to fight them earlier while they're waiting for Goku to make it back from the other world after being wished back. Wished back. It's me, Mario. I sent out the weapons due to bad guys. Anyway, so Yamcha is like, ha, I beat a Saber Man, and then they blow him up. And then Chiaotzu tries to blow up Nappa, and it doesn't work, and he sacrifices himself, and then Nappa kills Tien. And then Piccolo is all about to die until Goku shows up, and then he does die, and Goku beats the shit out of Nappa, and Goku and Vegeta fight, and I can't remember that. How did Goku end up on like the sidelines?
What?
Oh, because Vegeta went Ozuru. That's what happened. Yeah. That's why Goku ended up losing.
Like, I thought, rah, rah.
Yeah, because Vegeta's like, oh, fuck, Goku's stronger because he's fucking Goku. He's go motherfucking Ku. And so he goes Ozuru using like a fake moon. And he almost beats Goku, but Goku gathers a spirit bomb. And they manage to defeat him with the help of, by a surprise, Yar Jirobe for cutting off his tail. He's a spirit bomb on him. Goku's like, bomb bomb! And then he blows him up. And then Krillin's like, I will stab you with Yar Jirobe's sword. And then Goku's like, no, let him go, because I'm too nice. So then Vegeta flies off, and Goku goes to be healed, and they all resolve to take off to Namek, and then to be continued, friends!
Do-do-do.
Dun-dun-dun.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Sorry. Go ahead, Brian, with the story.
Alright. So, like, the Saiyan Saga kicked everything off, and I actually watched this really weird, because I started sometime in the, like, Ginyu Saga or something.
Uh-huh.
Because it was right around the time when Funimation started doing the voiceover instead of Ocean Group.
Yeah.
So it was right around there that I started watching, so I had to go back and watch the Saiyan Saga, which was weird because I was watching the Ocean dub of the Saiyan Saga and the Funimation dub of the Frieza Saga, so...
Trippy shit, man.
It was really weird because all the voices were different, but Like, I like the Saiyan Saga for what it's worth. It's not the most epic saga by any means, because I personally, my favorite saga is probably the entirety of the Cell Saga. But, like, it's still really good because it just sets everything up and it establishes, like, I think, was it Aerosol or John? I think it was Aerosol that said this. That it establishes, like, everything that DBZ is supposed to be.
Yeah, like the new tone.
Because DBZ is in no way, like, anything like Dragon Ball, really. I mean, it's got the same base tone because you got, like, Goku, he fires like, beams out of his hands and shit.
Like, for, sorry, I didn't interrupt you, but for those who don't know, Dragon Ball was all one manga from the beginning of the original Dragon Ball series until the end of Z. And it was there was no distinction, but the anime distinct it. So it was like the perfect way of, you know, setting apart like a new chapter.
Yeah. I don't know what else to say. Because like, I kind of finish off my thought, but just like the fact that it was a building block off of what Dragon Ball was.
Like I think that, like you said, it wasn't as epic as like Cell or Boo, like with fights and everything, and it just wasn't overall as epic. But I think it had the most. I don't want to say the best story, but the most sensible story.
Yeah, because
the other
one
kind of had all these crazy ass like fan fiction shit going on. Like, but this one had the most like story that made the most sense.
Is it my turn? Or
yes, sorry.
Okay, no. Well, actually, some of you may or may not know that I actually just saw this whole thing for the first time. I just finished it like yesterday, I think. Like finished with Boo and just saw this whole thing for the first time just a few months ago. So it's all like really new, but I liked it. The it sets up a lot of the stuff that comes later with all the different characters and like King Kai and Otherworld and also like, you know, Goku learning Kaioken and just almost like Super Saiyan 0.5 in a way, because it kind of like sets all that up to like his higher powers and shit, and but it was really cool, and Vegeta and Nappa and
that's his thoughts on him. Vegeta and Nappa
and like killing things and like I shoot beams up my mouth like throwing up on them or something. Nappa used projectile vomit and
look for dear, it's a Pokemon. I'm gonna catch it.
Chaozu used self-destruct, and you know, there's Piccolo just like regenerates his arms and shit. It was pretty cool. Gohan peeing off the side of a cliff. Those, you know, some memorable moments.
You could see Gohan's junk. I felt a little bit dirty watching it.
Yeah.
Goku taking like 12 episodes to get down Snake Way. I don't know why he just didn't fly. I don't.
Did that happen yet? Yeah, that happened.
He couldn't fly at the beginning, when the first on the way there.
Yeah, because Goku never flew as a kid. He always used Nimbus. He didn't learn to fly until
King Kai's planet.
King Kai's.
He kind of ran flew. Like he ran and flew.
He ran flew.
Like on the way back, because I remember him flying a little bit.
Ran flew sounds like a character.
Oh God, it sounds like a disease. I got the ran flu.
I don't know. All I know is that everybody could magically fly, and I'm like, why didn't he just fly?
They learned to do it between like when all the training year, because most of them didn't know how to do it except for Piccolo. I love how many. This is kind of random, like not really part of the story, but I love how many different versions there's been. Because I remember there's like the ocean version, and then there's Funimation version, and then I remember that Toonami aired like in its last days, like the uncut, like super hardcore version where you saw Gohan's junk. Saiyan Saga, and then we have like the edited DVD versions, and then we have Kai, and then it's just, I think it's really funny. Then there's the Japanese version where everyone sounds like a bitch. Like, I just think it's funny.
I just love giant fight things, and then Yajirobe's like, I don't want to go fight, I'm a scared little fat guy.
Like, that's one of the things, like, I think that's another thing that Aerosol said. I'm just kind of stealing all of his thoughts, but like I think it was John that said.
No, it was John. Aerosol agreed with him, but it was John.
Yeah,
it was
John
Aerosol.
John Aerosol.
God, they did the fusion dance.
Like that, it was. He thought it was epic that Yajirobe did the.
That was John.
Is the one that like saved the day.
Yeah,
and Aerosol agreed with him, but.
Wasn't this the saga where like Yajirobe's out there like doing interviews and getting food and. Like,
I think he was eating during the training.
Yeah.
He always eats.
This is the last one fight he participated in, because he opted out of cell, and then he was... Everyone disappeared after that. Like, yeah. More focus on people that people actually like.
I think yeah. Yajirobe was a carryover character. Yeah, he was a carryover character from Dragon Ball.
Yeah, he was. That was when Goku first met Korin.
Yeah.
When he met Yajirobe
when
first.
He first met Korin.
Cool. And Goku, he was actually like, he had a decent fight with him, if I remember right. Like, yeah. Yajirobe was.
Yeah, he just got fat and lazy or something.
No, he was fat in the first series. He just was strong. He's still strong. He's probably starting to kill.
Lazy entirely late. Then?
I thought he said he's just late. Maybe. That could explain the bitchiness.
Okay, Yajirobe's pregnant.
Oh, God, robot.
Robots in disguise, except Kevin. No, you move the car.
Right. Is that better?
Yeah, that's
yes, better.
That'd have been funnier if I didn't have these the rest of the headset with the headphones, and you could have heard what they were saying back and forth. Well, that just sounds like we're crazy.
Yeah. What else was there to say about story? Okay, well, since we're gonna kind of do character sloppily, I don't really know where else to include this, but it was mentioned several times about how basically the story kicks off with them like revealing Goku's origins.
Uh huh.
I liked Goku's origins. I remember somebody... Oh, it was John that said that they kind of reversed it. But we never knew anything about Goku throughout the entirety of Dragon Ball. Like, it was always a mystery. So it was nice that we finally found out, like, where he came from.
Yeah, I think it was Aerosol that said, like, he didn't like the fact that they turned him into an alien.
Yeah.
Because it was always so mystical. Like, I don't mind the fact that he was an alien. It's kind of a little bit of a cop-out. Like, yeah. Oh, he's an alien.
Well, because this
everyone's an alien. They're human like, aliens. Fuck yeah.
I'm just kidding. Like, I know a lot about it. I don't know, like, super amounts, like, Digimon Intersect amounts about it, or Dragon Ball Intersects about it, but it was started kind of as, like, an homage, less parody to that, like, Chinese legend, right?
Yeah, about it's,
Journey to the West.
Yeah, and you can kind of tell by the beginning of Dragon Ball that it was just kind of, it didn't start, like, what's his name, Akira or whatever, it didn't start out, like...
Akira Toriyama?
Yeah, he didn't start out, like, say, I don't think, writing Dragon Ball, like, alright, it's gonna start here, and then I have it mapped out. Through, like, Freezer or whatever first started ending. I think it just started as a fun little thing.
Dragon Ball started as a fun thing and then continued. Z started because it was popular.
You know what it reminds me of is Hobbit and Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
Where he wrote Dragon Ball is the Hobbit, Dragon Ball Z and after is Lord of the Rings, where he made this nice book and they wanted to make a sequel. He's like, while I'm at it, might as well make a 2,000-page epic, you know? Like, while I'm at it, I might as well make a smash hit series that goes...
If I remember correctly, Z was supposed to end after Frieza.
Yeah, and then it was supposed to end after Cell.
They're like, no, do more. So, like, okay, so he set up the whole androids and Cell. And they're like, okay, now it's... No, make another one. So it was like, oh, fuck, so now they do the entire Buu saga. But,
well, that's it this time. We're just going to do it on our own, because we're tired of arguing with you. Fine.
And he still had to do all the character designs anyway.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, I don't mind that explanation, going back to that, and I'm glad we got an answer to it, because that was kind of a whole thing in Dragon Ball. There was that underlying mystery of why Goku's like that and why he turns into a monkey. Like, and it kind of made sense, and it set up for a larger world of Z. I kind of wish the Saiyans were a little bit more redeemable, though. Like, they just were pretty much jackasses.
Yeah.
It could have been better if they were just, like, a warrior race that got enslaved by Frieza, and that's why they did evil things. But then it also gave Goku kind of a cool element where he was part of this, like, super savage, like, evilish race, but he was all, like, lighthearted and had all this power. You're better than me, Kakarot.
And, I mean, I can't speak too much for it because I haven't watched the Piccolo saga of Dragon Ball yet. In fact, I haven't watched anything besides the first season. But, like... Piccolo's, like, I'm going to say my second favorite character.
Of all time?
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't, like, questioning it. I was just making sure.
All fucking time.
So, well.
Ever. Every series. Ever. Season.
Oh, man. Whatever. Piccolo's even better than, anyway.
Piccolo's better
go
than
ahead.
Roll.
Roll?
I looked over and I picked the first figure I seen, and it was Roll's stupid dirt face.
Oh, that's funny.
Like, like, this starts his character progression in being a giant douchebag.
Yeah, it's a reoccurring theme also of Dragon Ball Z having villains becoming part of the main team. It's kind of like a giant version of Forze.
And so I like that, because particularly, my favorite character is Gohan. He's kind of a whiny little bitch in the beginning.
Yeah. Especially when he's peeing off the side of a cliff.
Most of my memories of Gohan are through like the Cell Saga and the Buu Saga, so I love Gohan a lot. Yeah. So I just love the interaction between Piccolo and Gohan, so I think that's why I like Piccolo a lot too.
That was probably my favorite part, actually, when I rewatched Saiyan Saga with the, you know, the remastered DVDs with the music. That was probably my favorite part of the Saiyan Saga was Gohan and Piccolo's story.
Yeah, Gohan, I love the beginning where he's just like, I'm whining a little bitch, and all of a sudden he just gets really pissed off and just, like, yells, and then it's like, oh, fuck. Raditz is like, oh, fuck, that kid's got some power. I don't know what he said, but
because
that's
because he's half-human. When you mix a really strong race with a really weak race, weak race, you get a strong race. That's how math works in Dragon Ball. But yeah, that was probably my favorite part with the rewatch. Yeah. Was just that whole, because it was like a really good character development.
I like how there's like giant dinosaurs, but then also like super techno city at the same time.
Yeah,
there's also the techno, like
strange,
like human dogs with
the mayor is a cat or a fox. Or something.
Yeah, that was a carryover from Dragon Ball.
Yeah,
you had like furries walking around.
Oolong and Puar and Master Roshi.
I also like how I totally forgot what I was gonna say.
That's cool.
Oh, like, it established kind of, like, how powerful, like, bringing in this greater space or greater enemies that were much more powerful than them. Mm-hmm. Like, they're like, oh, man, Goku's so strong, and then Raditz comes in and is like, oh, well, no.
No, no.
So, do we kind of, like, want to loosely do characters? Talk about how they were in this season?
I don't like being loose, but
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, should we start at the top with Goku? Or is there... Did you never send me a wiki article, Brian? You lied to me.
Yeah, I did.
Did you? Hold on, let me check.
I thought I did.
No, it was right there. It was hidden behind all the... It was hidden by the news, sorry.
I got Daisy.
I'm sorry for my earlier outburst.
Yeah, you should be.
Brian, I got Daisy.
That's nice.
That's lovely. Okay, Goku, he's first, so we'll start with him.
Alright, so like, Goku... I always like Goku. There's not too much to say about Goku because he's just kind of like such a stereotypical hero. Like, he's kind to everyone until you tick him off or you kill someone.
He's kind of like Shoichi.
I like his innocence.
Goku's always about innocence. He's like a character essence of innocence.
Yeah.
Oh, he reminded me of someone I saw that just reminded me of Goku. And I was, what the fuck was I watching?
Hayabusa-kun? No.
I think it was New Hina. New Hina is just like so innocent and like she's like, you know, has no idea what the hell is going on ever and just loves everyone and everything. And you're like, really?
A lot of people, like, this is not really have to do with his personality, but a lot of people compare on like an origin level Goku to Superman.
Oh,
just the way he arrived on Earth and like he's like this super powerful man, except he's like not gay. So that's cool.
He's not Shaw.
Like, I just don't like Superman and Goku's cool.
Oh my god, Ojo looks so pretty. Jesus. I'm looking at the photo review of Ojo, the figure.
Damn you, Figmas! Sorry, outburst.
Sorry, she's so pretty.
Like, there's really not... Goku is my favorite character in all of Dragon Ball, just for whatever reason, because I'm a sucker for main characters. And, like, he gets really badass later, except for his stupid moves. I was like, well, I was just going to see if you could fight him. I mean, I could have beat him, like, 5 minutes ago, but that's for later. Like, he really didn't go through a whole lot of changes, in particular throughout the whole thing. Like, he kind of just went through changes power-wise in this one, where he just went through more training, basically.
Yeah.
A lot to say about him in this season. I mean, he discovered who he was. I remember, didn't they have that scene? It was in, when he was in King Kai's, where they imagined what he would be like if he had not lost his memory, and he was, like, in a Saiyan outfit.
He's all, like, angry and evil, and like, ah. He made that noise, I've heard it.
What about Goku? It was more like, yeah, but I don't. I think there's more to say, but there's not.
I mean, yeah, Goku's just the essence of innocence.
Yeah,
innocence. He eats like a Jesus. God,
it's like me at Golden Corral tonight.
Chew attack. Did you say chew attack before?
No.
Disgrace. But, like, there'll be a little
bit
more...
That was just because I needed him to say something that wasn't Itadakimasu.
Yeah.
Shh.
But there'll be a little bit more like tidbits to say throughout the show, but in general, Goku really didn't change like tremendously throughout the whole show, other than just becoming a little bit more serious. Like, I feel like that is one thing he did kind of lose. Like, he's still innocent, but he understood threats more a little bit. Mm. Comparison.
And I do like that he was willing to sacrifice himself to kill Raditz.
Yeah. Although, I always think, I mean, obviously, at that moment, that was the greatest threat they'd ever faced. Mm. But in the grand scheme of how powerful shit gets, dude, he wasted a life on Raditz. Like, I always think of Dragon Ball in terms of a video game, because they basically have lives like that. Like, you can only get one revive from Shenron. But it set up. It basically was a really good setup for that arc with Gohan and Piccolo.
Yeah,
but still, it was pretty fun.
Speaking of Gohan, like I liked how Gohan did a lot of changing in this arc. I mean, not a whole lot, because by the time the Saiyans arrived, he was still kind of like, "Damn, I'm so scared."
Yeah,
but like, I mean, he was this little tiny little thing, and then. Oh, he watched his dad die, and then he gets kidnapped by a giant green dude, and he's like, "Here, live on your own," and then he disappears.
Yeah.
Like,
because he went through that change where, like, didn't Piccolo say you can quit or something, and then he decided not to? That was one, I think, the real turning point.
So.
Yeah.
He's like, "No, I want to be like Daddy." And here's Chi-Chi having, like, a convulsion.
Yeah, Chi-Chi's always having a convulsion.
Like, "You're supposed to be smart!"
"Oh, Goku's dead! Go on, not a scholar! Oh, my son, my husband's 12! Like, the story of her life.
Like, "Ah, you need to be studying, Gohan. You need to do your homework so you can be really smart and be a scholar." Like, "You know what? You need to go die in a hole, lady."
Just because Chi-Chi never went to school. She lived on a mountain with her fat-ass father.
What the hell happened to Chi-Chi? She went from, like, this little girl obsessed with Gohan to, like, this crazy-ass mother.
She was not obsessed with her unborn child, Dawson.
Oh, God.
That's what you said.
What did I say?
You said little girl obsessed with Gohan.
Oh, sorry. I get it. I meant to say Goku. But, like, I guess it wasn't too huge of a character shift, but it just seemed like it because the last time we saw Chi-Chi...
I think she's just really obsessive about things.
Yeah. I guess it makes sense.
She's us.
Yeah.
Piccolo, like, I mean, I talked about Piccolo for the most part already. Like, one of my favorite characters in this season just kind of, like, kicked him off in the good guy direction.
Yeah.
Like, gave him a little boot, and it's like, "Oh, here, be a good guy." And he's like,
"Because Gohan melted his heart."
Plus, I like anyone that's voiced by Chris Sabat, so.
Yeah, Piccolo's thumbs up. Like, it was really nice. When I saw this, because, like, in the later series, like, he's not as prominent, so it was really nice when I rewatched this to, like, see him in a prominent role and kind of be a badass, because later he's just kind of sitting there meditating.
Because, I mean, Piccolo doesn't do too much throughout the Frieza saga. I mean, he fights a lot near the tail end, but, I mean, throughout the Ginyu and Namek sagas, he's just kind of sitting there going, "Duh."
He's just sitting there holding Kinkai's shoulder watching everything.
He's like, "I'm dead."
"I'm dead." Fuck.
But yeah, I really like the whole interaction between Piccolo and Gohan.
Yeah.
It's my favorite character relationship of the entire show, because, I mean, it lasts all the way through the Cell Saga.
Yeah. And, like, they even touch on it, like, in GT and stuff later.
Yeah. Mr. Piccolo!
Mr. Piccolo! Hey, little kid, stop being annoying. Okay.
Mr. Piccolo, I gotta take a piss.
Well, take it. Pull your junk out right now. I want to see it. Looks like two little C's drawn together. That's what it looks
like. Oh, God.
It's like a giant C with, like, a little C.
Oh, God.
He just has disgusting. One giant ball. A dragon ball.
I'm going to pretend I'm not hearing this.
Okay.
He's got the four-star ball.
Oh, God. That's where it went. Oh, my God. So, next on the list is Krillin. Krillin?
Krillin?
I mean, Krillin didn't do too much in this entire gap.
I have a smoker's voice.
I mean, he did a lot. I mean, obviously, he did a lot against the battle with the Saiyans and stuff, because he was, like, the only fucker who lived.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool, but, I mean, Krillin... he's a new KFC product.
Oh my God.
Kentucky
Fried. New Krillin chicken. It's got Krillin's face on it.
We know where Brian's mind is right now.
On chicken.
Chicken.
Oh, that was great.
But, like, I mean, I like Krillin. He was never one of my favorite characters or anything. I didn't really like him too much when I've seen him in Dragon Ball either, but... Like, I mean, I don't mind him or anything. He's just kind of there. He does a lot of really stupid moves.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Krillin's alright.
Krillin is Krillin, so that means he could never do anything.
Yeah. Look at that. Chris Sabat was a voice in Metroid Prime 3.
I thought I recognized him.
But kind of, like...
No, you didn't.
Yeah, Brian, you're lying.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of the guy that sounded like him in Other M. Never mind.
Anyway, like, kind of like Goku, he didn't really go through much character change as much as he did just strength-wise, but that's kind of everybody.
Yeah, because he pretty much retained a lot of his character from Dragon Ball, and the fact that he's kind of a scaredy cat, but he tries to act tough.
Yeah, and like he can be brave when the occasion arises.
Yeah.
And I like that he's kind of different from Goku, and that he was willing to kill Vegeta.
Yeah.
Seeing the threat, which...
I mean, I'm glad he didn't kill Vegeta.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Well, yeah.
Vegeta's
not only for him being a great
character, but
it probably, like, events would have transpired differently in terms of Namek and everything, too.
Right.
Let's see.
Vegeta... I mean, I like this season because it introduced Vegeta.
Yeah.
And it kind of set him up as not only a really strong rival for Goku...
The next member of the Dragon Ball Club.
Oh, God. But... I mean, it set him up as a threat, but not a threat to the point where they were never going to beat him, considering they kicked his ass.
Yeah.
It took a lot of effort, but they kicked his ass.
Yeah.
So it set him up as, like, a middle ground equal to Goku, and I liked that, and basically how he was just driven to be stronger.
Yeah. Like, and he was, like, the perfect example of a Saiyan.
Yeah.
Like, where he wasn't too, like, savage, but he was, like, he had pride, and he was just a warrior race.
Well, I don't know, he went around killing people on his way to Earth, just, let's go to this planet, kill them all.
Those
one guys were like, you saved us, like, oh, lols, I kill you all now, they leave.
He was just, he had to kill people until he found his proper character palette.
Yes, well.
And plus, at this point in the series, when they wrote him, they weren't planning on fully redeeming him and giving him a wife and kids.
Yeah.
That's more likely true as well. I would venture to say that, yes.
Like, and he was going to get redeemed and get killed by Frieza, and then that's it.
Like, I like that they set up the whole thing, which is pretty much a reoccurring theme throughout all of Z, is that how he can't understand, the, kind of like he's like a pure blood, like this mug blood, or mud blood, whatever. He's a pure Saiyan, and he can't quite measure up to Goku, who was considered a low-class warrior.
Yeah, like, Goku just, like, is always stronger than him, and he doesn't really try.
Yeah.
He just is. And here's Vegeta working his ass off. He's like, why can't I beat you?
Yeah, exactly. And he's
like, I'm the prince, bro.
I'm the prince of all Saiyans. They're dead. You're prince of two people. Calm down.
Oh, gosh.
Prince of two people, then, like, four people, then back to two people, and then, like, six people, and then up
like
back
six
to
six and
two.
A half or something. You get some halves there. You can add them together, I guess. Like a major character save him in, really. Sorry, we'll get to that later, but still. So Nappa. Oh, wait, because no one knows, all the characters are usually named on something funny. Saiyans by food. So Goku's name's Kakarot Carrot. What's Nappa?
Nappa...
Cabbage. Nappa's a kind of cabbage.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say, it was something. I remember...
Because Vegeta's obviously vegetable.
I work in a grocery store, so I know these things.
Oh, that makes sense.
Raditz is like radish.
Gohan's breakfast?
Yeah, Gohan is rice.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Or was it Goten that was... I think one of them's breakfast.
I don't know. But, I was just talking about the Saiyans, because I always forget what Nappa is. Because everyone else is pretty obvious. Anyway, talking back to Nappa... he didn't really do
much. Gohan's Mandarin for lunch.
Mandarin? What?
Yeah.
I couldn't hear over Kevin Blessing in the microphone.
I want to molest you.
Oh, God. Oh, Vivi.
Vivi.
Nappa always, like, obviously he kind of was, but he always came off to me like Vegeta's bodyguard.
At least that's the Latina.
Look. Yeah. Don't forget Amy.
He was really stupid, too.
Yeah. He was like Raccoon 1.0, basically. Same size, same muscles. That sounded
good. I don't know. Nappa was Nappa, so he's stupid.
Like, Oh, man, people. This is gonna
look, Vegeta, it's a Pokemon.
No one really had character. He was a good person for them to fight before they got to Vegeta, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you thought he was awesome. Look at me, I've got 9,000 stuff.
Oh, God, I hate that joke.
Obligatory, it's over 9,000!
I like how Aerosol said, I can't believe that meme isn't dead yet. Starts punching walls. I'm just assuming. That's the way I get whenever I see that.
Yeah. It'll never die, despite how I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Oh, well, Nabba had a funny haircut in Bardock's movie, so that was fun. Vegeta killed him. That's crazy. Not crazy, but that's just mean.
Well, Vegeta's an asshole.
Yeah.
He did kill him
later. But that was when he had a leather jacket and a haircut. Yeah. Anyway, Raditz. I totally agree. I know John highlighted it more with the Todd Manning references. Love it. Anyway, he's such a wasted character. Like, he had such... I know he's so... Like, that's a small part, but being Goku's brother...
He didn't have to be Goku's brother.
That's true.
Like, I think they did it to basically amplify him as, oh, this is what you could have been if you didn't lose your memory and stuff, by making him a relative. But, I mean, really, as far as the character setup, all you had to do was be a rogue Saiyan that was like, oh, you're Kakarot, I'm going to steal your kid, blah.
Yeah, because
it would have been just fine.
Because it could have just been Vegeta, Nappa, and Raditz finding another Saiyan. Like, oh look, there's another one. Oh fuck, I missed that one. Go down there, Raditz. Like, that could have easily gone that way, but because they made him his brother, like there was such potential there for like I don't know about redemption or something. I don't know how they would have done it, but I would have liked to seen or heard more from it. Like Goku being such a nice person, and he almost had the easiest time killing his brother at the end, you know, and like never thought about him again. He was never mentioned again.
Right.
And, like, he's, like, fucking giving scot-free breaks to these monstrous creatures that you only get, like, 4 seconds to potentially kill. Like, it's just, it bothers me that he was wasted so much. Like, I mean, there was I think it was Budokai Tenkaichi 2, like, a small story about Raditz, like, hitting his head and forgetting.
Oh, yeah.
And he became friends with Goku and,
I like those what-if stories in all the Budokai games.
Yeah, those are fun. Like, I don't know if I just kind of would have liked to see more from him.
Yeah, like, it was just essentially a wasted character.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or rather, wasted potential. Let's see.
Poor Raditz.
Basically, that's it for like the main characters.
Yeah.
And the villains. I mean, you had the side characters. You had Tien and Chaozu.
We can just talk about them in one.
Who
lump.
Are pretty much just there. They're tied to the hip. So.
Yeah.
I mean, they fought, they died, that was really about it.
Yeah.
Basically, just carry over their characters from Dragon Ball and then kill them. And got them in the Saiyan Saga. Yamcha, same thing. Like, Yamcha's always just a loudmouth douchebag.
He didn't even get to be killed by a Saiyan, he got killed by a cabbage. He's like, oh, blimey, I thought I smelled cabbage, and then he looked down and he blew up. True story.
He could have just stayed playing baseball and been done with it.
Honestly. He's just mad because he gets kicked off his Bulma's love interest when they make Vegeta a main character.
Yeah. And then, last but not least, we have Yajirobe, who I always kind of liked Yajirobe because I mean, he was a giant asshole, but he was like this little fat guy. I'm like, oh, you're cool. And he had a sword.
I just liked his demeanor. Like, I love the fact that...
Fuck you, I don't care.
Like, at the time, he was pretty much as strong as, like, Yamcha and Tien and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least that's the way I got it. Like, I just think it's funny that he had this potential to be a really great fighter, but he just wanted to eat.
he just didn't care.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and I thought it was funny that, like, in the end, he just kind of had to reluctantly save the day. Like, fuck, why don't you just cut the fucker's tail off? Shing! And then put the Christmas tree down. Zoom!
Zoom!
But yeah, I like Yajirobe.
And, like, I do like the fact that, like, this was his, like, shining moment.
Yeah.
That he actually got to do something important and save the day.
Because after this, he just kind of wanders around until he grows a mustache. Later.
Yeah.
Spoilers!
He played a lot bigger of a role in Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
So,
a lot of people did.
I'm glad he carried over. Because he was still kind of helpful. I mean, he always delivered the senzu beans and...
Like, other like, than...
Hey, Yajirobe, you want to fight? He's like, no.
No, here's some senzu beans.
Go eat.
Just take them. Like, other than the drastic tone change we talked about, this was the only season that kind of felt like just a true extension of Dragon Ball in terms of the characters. Because after this, they just kind of started phasing everyone out slowly. Yeah. Like, not everyone, but, like, most of the Dragon Ball characters that were important.
All his pals, pretty much.
Yeah. Goku made new pals that were stronger. They're bigger than them and stronger.
I made some new friends, so I'm not going to hang out with you guys anymore.
This is awkward. I didn't
invite die, replacement anybody. Friends! Oh, crap, they killed us.
Love that line. Well, that's a funny move. Got a list of supporting characters here. Bulma, she's a loudmouth bitch.
Yeah, I forgot about them. I'm sitting here reading about Yajirobe.
Bulma didn't do much. Like,
Bulma didn't do anything. She was like, oh, you have a kid, and then vanished for a while. Like, everyone on this list throughout the entirety of the Saiyan Saga pretty much just stayed at Master Roshi's house.
Except for King Kai.
Except for King Kai. He was never at Master Roshi's
house. King Kai's awesome because he's also voiced by Shunsuke.
I love King Kai.
I know. King Kai is like the best thing ever.
King Kai's kind of like the fun grandpa. Like, he's a nut, yeah. And he
like,
makes really...
Oh, hey, Goku!
He's a nut and makes really corny jokes, but you just love him.
And he's got a monkey and a giant fly, like...
Fuck yes.
He's a grasshopper, thank you.
Oh, whatever he is, he's... fuck himself.
And, I mean, my favorite character on the supporting characters list is obviously Turtle.
Obviously, the best character
Turtle's
ever.
The best ever. I love Turtle.
Because Turtle does everything awesome ever. Because he's
Turtle.
Like,
I always remember...
Was Launch even in this season?
Yeah, she was at the very beginning when you see Tien. And,
oh,
like,
yeah, she's like, yeah, I'm leaving.
She was there for like 5 minutes, and then she sneezed about 6 times and then left.
And then she drives away, and then you still see her stuck in traffic later in the Kid Buu saga. She's stuck in traffic that whole time.
She's stuck in traffic for like... Freaking!
Come on,
15,
the car's broken.
Years.
We gotta fix it.
Because there would be an accident because a battle would happen on the road, and they'd fix it, and then the next villain would come along, and they're like, "God damn it!"
But I mean, I really don't have too much to say about any of these supporting characters.
I was just gonna say about Kami. I remember there was this ad they always ran for when they were like the reruns of Piccolo always going, "It was Kami, Kami-sama." I always repeated that with my friends. I thought it was funny when Piccolo said it.
I like Mr. Popo.
He's not black.
Until you get to Kai where he's like blue or something.
Oh my god.
Or no, that wasn't... that was only when it was on...
It was on CW.
They CW made him blue.
They jinxed him.
And all the blood turned into sweat and spit.
Oh god. Yeah.
I was watching Kai the other day and someone got punched and I'm like, oh man, you knocked sweat out of me. That's stupid. Come on. Why can't kids see blood? They can bleed. When you get cuts, you bleed. Like, the characters are like, that's just sweat. Like, what?
When I get cut, I sweat. I mean, I don't know what happened to you.
I woke up covered in SWAT. My mom is dead.
At least you think it's sweat. It could be, you know.
Oh, God.
Oh, baby.
Oh, baby.
Oh, baby, bibby. How was I supposed to bib?
To bib?
Bib, to bib, Jerry, to bib. I was picturing a Piccolo fighting the saber, and he's just like, I'm going to murder you, cabbage.
Yeah, no one really to talk about, like, in this. Like, I mean, I want to talk about Roshi, but like, he didn't really do anything here. Yeah. And it's just he was such a prominent character in Dragon Ball that pretty much did little to nothing throughout DBZ.
Except for Grope Bulma in the first few episodes.
He like, just stared at
Grope. I'm like, oh, you're a stereotypical old man.
I love Master Roshi for that.
You're Kevin when he grows old.
Oh my god,
Kevin now?
So
what do you mean when he grows old? When he grows
well,
old?
I was going with, you know, bald and beard.
Oh.
My god, this is
I see what you're doing.
You see the old version of the podcast? Kevin looks exactly like Master Roshi. It's going to be great.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
So, but I think that's about it for characters. Like, this just kind of sets up everyone's template, really. Besides the people who already had templates from Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
Which is most of the cast.
And those people just get killed, so.
Yeah, a lot of people died.
Yeah, that was a crazy battle. Like, that really.
A lot of folks were croaking.
Like, they showed the. It showed, like, the weight of how powerful the new enemy was. That, like, was it the most casual? No. That was when they blew up Earth. I'm sorry. But, like, it was a pretty intense battle. Most everyone died. Like, again, like, I guess it's because. Like, Brian, I didn't see this when it first aired. Like, I mean, like, steadily. So when I basically went back and watched it and seen greater threats, so it seemed like such a waste.
Yeah, like...
to lose to such weak enemies at the time.
Like, if you're watching this, like, when it was new, then this is, like, a big deal. But if you watch, like, Cell Saga and then go back and watch the Saiyan Saga, it's like, what?
Yeah, or even, like, when I rewatched it after knowing about through Boo and then GT, it's like, everyone got so much stronger. Like, wow, they wasted a life on that. Man, his power level was only like 1,000 something. Boo's is like 11 million or something like that.
Well, that's what his power level is. Power level's over 9,000. They're like, oh, it's a big deal. And then Goku's power level by the end of DBZ is like 1 billion trillion.
Yeah.
But the end of like Frieza, it was like over a million or something. Like, there. Or some stupid, or over 100,000. Like, it just like skyrocketed in like a minute.
When they stopped counting, I just went by the cards because I played the card game. So it was kind of like a miscellaneous ramble corner for it, I guess. Were you talking? Was there anything to talk about extra?
Not really. Not really.
Well, fine. Cut me down. No, I'm kidding.
Well, I mean, this is whatever. Really interesting. Whatever you want to call this segment would be where we talk about like forms and stuff. I mean, I guess we can. I don't know. What the hell do we do?
The only thing they really introduced was Kaioken, which wasn't used very much in Street.
Yeah, like, they used
like
it
John
at
said,
first.
It was foreshadowing of what would be used later, but not
yeah, because it was basically, like, quasi-Super Saiyan.
Yeah.
Because he was all like, oh, I'm red and bah, I'm strong.
It was Kaioken. It was Super Saiyan 0.5.
Yeah.
That's
Kaioken
a good way to
times 10, and then times...
Like, no, Goku, don't do that!
You can waste up all your time on Earth. Wait, that's my line for Season 8. Sorry. You're on Namek. I forgot. Yeah, I guess you're right.
I mean, there just really isn't too much to say, because this is like the first...
Yeah, it was pretty basic.
First saga, everything was really, really basic. A lot of the attacks were carryovers from Dragon Ball.
Yeah. Like, no radical fusions or...
Like, the only real new things were, like, Spirit Bomb. Anything you learn from King Kai, really, Spirit Bomb. Okay, okay.
I love how Goku, he does, like, the Kamehameha wave, and Vegeta's like, what? He can do that?
What?
Put the cookie down! Now!
Like, that's a Kamehameha, not a cookie.
Now I imagine Vegeta voiced by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Fuck yeah. He should have taken over in Kai, since they fucked it up anyway. I guess that'd be final thoughts.
I feel like it shouldn't be, but
yeah. Damn it! What are we only at, like? Are we only at 3 hours or something?
We're only at 2 hours.
Oh my god! All the presses.
Well,
I'm going to say next week.
Well, I mean, no, well, next week's ramble time, so.
Oh, yeah. We'll definitely have more to say next week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shaw came back and stuff.
Whatever.
That's all that happened. Sweet. Actually, all the other shows are on hiatus. Fuck. The
entirety of ramble time is just Chuck. Yeah. It's the only fucking show on anymore.
Chuck.
But, so, yeah, final thoughts.
Final thoughts.
Like, I thought we said a lot of our final thoughts earlier in the initial thoughts, but, like, I mean, I like the season for what it's worth, setting up exactly what, like, the essence of Dragon Ball is, which, I mean, at the core, it's just a shonen battle anime.
Yeah.
So.
It's just a fun show.
Like, it basically took Dragon Ball's, like, mystical nissness, and then basically kind of mutated it into a shonen battle anime, because that's what was popular at the time, so.
Well, yeah, and it took, like, the fighting arcs in Dragon Ball and just made it the whole show, because, like, loosely, like, I just remember when I watched Dragon Ball, like, it being kind of adventure, fight, because they'd have to take a time out for, like, various ones that were more focused on fighting.
Right.
It's kind of like a formula. But they just like, they took that part and just made it the whole show.
But I mean, like you said, in terms of action, like this is a really hard show, or not a show, but saga to watch, because there really isn't too much except for the whole the Raditz fight and then the fight with the Saiyans.
Yeah, so, and the fights just get better later.
Basically, so. It's just kind of like started with an epic fight, ends with an epic fight, and then everything else is Gohan's journey, Piccolo's journey.
Special training.
Goku's
yogurt time.
Yogurt time.
Yogurt time, most important meal of the day.
Heck yeah. But,
and the orange. Orange.
That's how we do training around here.
Fuck yeah.
But yeah, we pretty much did say everything. Like,
but music. Really, we never did music.
Oh. How are you going to handle that? Oh, that's a.
I don't know how this works because, like, there's 12,000 different themes and I don't know background music, so this is going to be Dawson's music section.
Oh man, that's what this basically always is. I'm the only one that pays attention. You guys are all about all these like Japanese songs from Kamen Rider, and I pay attention to the background music in Dragon Ball. Like, I guess this would be a good way to extend it. Like, I don't know. Damn it, O's! Kevin just has all his attention-hogging devices.
Because he can't turn off his phone.
I don't know about like the ocean dub and stuff, but you have the Bruce Faulkner music, and then you have the original Japanese music, and then I don't know where Kai music fits in, but personally, I like both. I watched when I, as it was airing, like I guess you said, grew up on the Faulkner music, so I really like it. Were we just talking about the Saiyan Saga music, or are we going to do everything?
It's just Saiyan Saga.
Okay, but then the Japanese music, when I rewatched it, was the first time I saw it with the saga, and I really liked it as well. A lot of people are, like, super purist about it, but I thought they were both good.
They, I mean, they've got different tones. Like, the Faulkner music is very, like, rockish.
Yeah.
And so everything is, like, 10 times more epic than it needs
to be. It kind of fit the Dragon Ball's, like, extreme! That's what Dragon Ball Z's like.
But, like, the Japanese music, that's what I watched when I was watching the DVDs, because I just hit the play button. but,
wow.
Like... The Japanese music is kind of pretty much just kind of like a how it was intended sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so, like, the times where it needs, like, kind of peaceful music, it's peaceful. And then the times where there is an epic battle, it sometimes has epic battle music.
It's just a lot different. It feels really dated, though, at times, especially watching it back now in the last few years.
Oh, well, of course. This is a show from the 80s.
Well, yeah, but the Dragon, that's why the Faulkner music kind of holds up better.
Right.
You watch it now than this.
That's why it's always fun watching them go into a city. It's from the 80s. Jesus.
Because like it's hard to think like when you're watching this. I guess it's kind of like molds back into final thoughts. But like when you're watching this, you're watching particularly with the Saiyan Saga. You're watching a show that started in 1989.
Yeah.
And it's really hard, particularly if you're watching the newer releases, to realize that because of how remastered everything is now with the. With the DVD sets, and now they're releasing them on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And then...
Sons of bitches.
The Dragon Boxes were remastered. They weren't widescreen. Which threw everyone in a little tizzy, but...
Yeah.
Like, it's just hard to realize that you're watching a show from 1989 because of how remastered it is and everything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're watching Kai, it's really hard to tell because most of it is... entirely remastered and some of it was even redrawn, so
yeah.
But I mean, as a whole, I think it stands the test of time pretty well.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, it's a show that I've seen in its entirety, I think, twice, and I could have no problem going back and watching it again if I had time to watch sift through 9 seasons
to watch things you've already seen. I don't have time to do that anymore.
Yeah. But I'm just watching it for the first time, and I mean, yeah, like I just said, there's some things that get a little, like, giggle-worthy, like when you see them going into a city and people are dressed, like, 80s style, and they're, like, 80s style cars and shit, and it's just fucking hilarious to me. But, like, it's still, like, I don't, to me, I didn't really notice that, like, basically the show is 20 years old. You know, it didn't really come off that way. It still came off like this is a fun thing to watch because they got the fights and the And especially when you see the, like, them dressed, they're not dressed in normal people clothes. They're dressed in their little, like, fighting training suits. So,
like, other than those clothes elements, like, it's such an odd world that you can't really tell that it's.
I mean, cause you got, like, dinosaurs on one part of the area, and you get go 20 feet, and they're in a city with, like, high tech computers and little things that pop out of capsules. Like,
I always wanted those.
Capsules.
I want anything that make pops a little out of noise. Capsule.
We thought those were before they were going to be like, "Oh, that's really good noise." One thing about the music, the Japanese one, I don't remember whatever they used when they aired Dragon Ball, like on Cartoon Network, is what I remember the best from Dragon Ball. Mm-hmm. So that the music they used in the Japanese version of Dragon Ball Z felt more similar to the one I watched from Dragon Ball. So it kind of made it more fluid for me in that sense. It felt more like a true continuation where the music fit it more.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a weird thing with GT when the music's so different, but that's the thing I need to say.
Well, there's a lot of things weird about GT.
Yeah. Like, we can get into more.
Music ain't the first thing that's wrong with GT.
Yeah. We'll get into that later. Good luck, Kevin.
Yay!
I still have to watch that whole fucking first saga.
Have fun swimming through the cesspool of Dragon Ball.
Can we lose the lost episodes? Because I haven't watched them.
Well, they're already lost, so...
The Lost House was the entire first half of the show.
They skipped it here, though, and I did when I bought all the DVDs at first.
Because they aired, like, reverse, because they're like, all the Black Star Dragon Ball saga isn't fun, so they just totally killed that and started with the Baby saga.
Yeah, because that's how they released it here, like... I don't know if you guys... Well, I know Kevin doesn't even follow it, but... The DVDs / VHSs came out a lot earlier than the airings.
Oh, yeah, because I was watching, like, Cell stuff when Frieza had ended.
Yeah.
Well, Frieza had ended, but Frieza ended and went through a really long hiatus.
Yeah.
And so I was watching, like the Trunks saga and stuff. And I think we were on Android releases when they finally started airing the Trunks saga.
Yeah, because, like, that's the way I did it was... Well, I noticed that, so I started just buying the DVDs or VHSs and then going to DVDs with GT whenever they came out. So, where was like, oh yeah, because that's why I didn't see the lost episodes, because by the time GT was over, I stopped caring. Like, I'm like, I'm not gonna. I bought the first Lost Episodes volume, and I'm like, fuck this. And then I ended up turning all my DVD volumes into Blockbuster to buy GameCube games. But I have them now, but I don't know. That's why I didn't see it.
You got them back?
Yeah, basically. I was kind of sad when I sold them all. I wanted games at the time, but now I have the whole series back. So it worked out. I don't know where I was going. But I guess we can touch a little bit more on the music as it gets later a little bit. As more tracks become noticeable. Because if I remember right, I don't think Faulkner actually did the Saiyan Saga.
I have no idea. You might have to browse the wiki a little bit and try to figure that out.
Someone will be like, well, actually, I don't know. But it'll be brought up a little bit more later and probably more so in... I guess in final thoughts.
Basically, these will get deeper as we go.
Yeah.
Particularly because there's more stuff to cover. I mean, like, Saiyan Saga is just the quote-unquote Vegeta Saga. Yeah. I mean, next time with the Frieza Saga, we have the Namek, Ginyu, Frieza, and Garlic Jr. sagas.
Yeah, it's got a bunch of different
stories. Garlic Jr. will only slightly touch upon because it's filler. So, I mean...
And it's stupid.
Garlic Jr., Saiyaman, and World Tournament sagas will just kind of, like, quickly sift through because they're kind of fillery and stupid.
They're stupid.
The Saiyaman saga is fun, but...
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
But, yeah, I mean, and then the Android saga has Trunks, Androids, and the three Cell sagas. And then the Buu saga has Saiyaman, World Tournament, Babidi, Majin Buu, Fusion, and Kid Buu. So we get more and more content as we go, so...
Yeah, because they fed a lot more stories. This was all kind of one story.
This was one chunk.
Yeah.
And we get all kinds of cool characters to talk
about.
Which
kind of makes it the most coherent.
Yeah, that's why.
Because it's one chunk, while as in the other ones we have what is essentially one chunk. It's just a really long chunk.
Yeah.
We also get a lot more characters and stuff to talk about, not just because we have Goku and basically no one else could do anything except die.
Yeah, and different
Vegeta,
fights.
Nappa, and Raditz, and that was it.
Because, like, in this one, basically, we all led to one fight, and later, like, you have, like, 20 people lining up to fight this fuck before he dies.
Yeah, like we can start going into things like what our favorite fight of this saga was and stuff.
Yeah.
Outside of, what was your favorite fight? Well, obviously the one with Vegeta, because it was the only one.
Yeah.
The one with Raditz was stupid, and the one with Nappa was... Well, he got killed by Vegeta, so...
He just got thrown by a small man.
It's like, shut up, Nappa, and throws him, and goes, well, there goes Nappa.
Oh, Vegeta.
We Saiyans are a proud race.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, it was. Kevin for...
Jammin' Kakarot!
There's already American Nappa.
Kevin for American Vegeta... Oh, wait.
There's already one.
Why does he get to be a Super Saiyan?
Because he's the main character.
Oh, right.
Oh, damn.
That hurt. Oh, Vegeta. It's great. Oh, damn. That's really funny. Oh, sounded like an old Vegeta.
Oh, damn.
That pretty much covers it.
Yeah, that's pretty much about it. Kicks off anime that is... I mean, not very dear to me or anything like that, but it was one of the first shows that really got me into like Japanese culture and anime and stuff. So, while I totally know there's so many faults with this show as a whole, it's still a really solid series to me.
Imagining Little Shukyu.
It's still one of my favorites ever, just because it was such a fun show to watch.
The first, well, besides the obvious Speed Racer, the first like. Anime I remember watching is Sailor Moon.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Anyway.
And then Dragon Ball was right after that.
The first one I remember watching is the Ronin Warriors. That's why I got my Armor Plus guys and I'm spending an arm and a leg for them.
Yeah, it was Ronin Warriors because I watched that too. I don't remember. My entire childhood is all just a blur. So.
Yeah, it's just
the blur and the chibiness and... Brian's a giant
everyone became chibis.
Yeah.
Go, Speed Racer. Go, Speed Racer. Go.
He's the demon on wheels.
Thank God. Here we go.
So, yeah, that's all for the Saiyan Saga. So, join us in 2 weeks where we discuss everything involving Frieza.
Yep. Including the new, slower, gay voice.
Yeah, like, I mean, outside of, like, Kai changes in the Saiyan Saga, the only one is like, the voice changes.
For Gohan.
And... I mean, really, that just comes down to preference, but...
Except you should all prefer the ones that aren't Kai. Just saying, if you want to be an actual person.
Like...
Number one, watch Chuck. Number two is something
Because, I mean, the only voice changes I have a problem with are the voices that are incredibly important to me.
Like Gohan.
Like, basically, the main characters. So, pretty much Gohan and Bulma. I didn't watch anything with the Frieza saga... with what's-his-face as Frieza instead of...
I just popped in occasionally to see it.
So I don't really... I can't really speak for any of that, but...
Like,
Gohan being my favorite character is a character that's really, really important to me.
Yeah.
And as much as I like Colleen Clickenbeard as a voice actress, she just doesn't pull off a convincing Gohan. She'd be a great Goten. But just not... Gohan. Like, maybe Gohan when he was, like, yay big, but when you start getting into...
Oh, we can all see that.
Well, I mean, like, when he's... The beating the Saiyan Saga, when he's, like, 2 feet tall, he's, like, this little thing, he's like, oh, you're so cute, and then all of a sudden he gets
bigger. Little sea balls, yeah.
But...
Like, I liked Gohan's original voice. Like, it was pretty much Goku when he was little. Well, Brian doesn't know that, because I remember you didn't know that. From not seeing Kid Goku or something, but yeah, it's the same exact. I mean,
it's the same exact voice.
Well, it's the same person, but it pretty much is. But I liked that because of what they were going for with Gohan.
Yeah.
But I think my other than not liking some of the new voice choices, I think my biggest problem is that Kai was advertised as this definitive Dragon Ball version. Like, finally, they cut out the filler. Everything's cleaned up. It's going to be the best experience for the fans. And then when it comes here, you get all these changes that I just didn't appreciate. Because, like, if I want to watch, I was, like, always kind of excited to see it cleaned up. Kevin, damn it!
What?
I was excited to see it without, like, filler and, like, cleaned up, and then they kind of ruined it for me with the new voices. It's just personally, like, I just think it's kind of shitty for the definitive version to take away, like, all the classic voices.
Well, like I said, Gohan's the only one that really bothered me. Like, I don't like Bulma, but I don't really give a shit about Bulma.
Yeah.
So it didn't bother me all that much.
Frieza's pissed me off. They're like, you talk too slow. Get someone that talks slower.
What?
And that sounds even more like a woman? Okay.
Even though it's a dude?
Oh, yeah. Didn't Frieza, was Frieza's voice like in Japan? Wasn't it really deep?
I think. I don't know the Japanese voice.
I don't know.
Other than Goku being.
My God, that's just awful.
It's ridiculous. Oh, yeah. Goku retained the same voice actress through all of the show.
Oh, God.
And it never really changed.
It's pretty stupid, in my opinion.
His voice didn't change when he digivolved.
Oh, God. Digivolved into adult Goku. Like, I can't even imagine watching the scene where he turned Super Saiyan 3 in Japanese, how grating that must be. Just for, like, 5 minutes. In this one, you had Epic Sean Skimble screaming and epic music.
Oh, my God. Please don't ever make that scream again. That was frightening.
Sorry. That was Goku's voice.
Oh, God. I'm scarred
now. Let's check this out. Oh my God, this is hysterical. Thankfully you can't hear the screechy voice over the music.
I can't hear it.
What's going on?
Super Saiyan 3 Goku in Japanese.
Send us the link.
Oh, God.
That's poverty.
You can tell.
Doo-doo. Doo-doo.
Oh my God.
See?
Oh my God. God, that was frightening. I'm not gonna sleep tonight.
I love like the fan bitch argument on here. What's better?
Fan argument's like, well, foreigners' music's best. No Japanese. I like their Japanese voices.
And everyone's like, I love Misak. Whatever her face is, so original and the best. And people are like, fuck that, Sean Skimmel. I like the people that say, fuck that, Sean Skimmel. How could you even compare that? Like,
I just switched to a different one that has a little bit extended portion of that scene, and it says, you may complain about the original voice, but the right thing would be to compare the acting. The American voice has no acting. It's awful. The Japanese one is amazing in this aspect. Also, the Brazilian version made an excellent job, too, when it comes to acting. Okay, well, first of all, Funimation is probably the best dubbing company, like, ever. So,
totally.
Brian, well, are you getting a paycheck from them? What are you
doing? Well, I mean, things were shaky at the beginning, but I mean, I guess it's kind of like because I'm a bit of a Funimation fanboy because they pretty much dubbed all my favorite animes.
I couldn't tell.
no way. But just like,
oh, no way.
I like these people, so
like, I guess because I grew up with it, or didn't watch, didn't grow up with the Japanese version. But how could you compare that? Like, that scene was so epic. Like, you should go watch, because I know, Brian, you don't remember the music. Go watch the Funimation dub with the Funimation music. I love Goku Super Saiyan 3 transformation music.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so epic. And like, when he finally transforms, like how Sean lowers Goku's voice, like really deep and badass. Like, he does that when he's Super Saiyan 3 or 4. It's just, he just sounds like such a badass. And here, like, it's just so stupid. It's just, I can't even believe how you can compare that.
Like, I mean, that's the thing with a series like Dragon Ball. You have so many different versions, because you've got the Ocean dub, you've got the Funimation dub, you've got Faulkner music, you've got the original Japanese tracks, you have like all the entirety of Kai, you have Kai voices. I mean, there's going to be some people that like Kai's Gohan over Stephanie's Gohan. So there's always Dragon Ball is like one of the most, I'm not going to say the most bickering fandom I know of, because pretty much every fandom is just a giant cesspool of bickering.
They have almost a lot of most factions I've seen.
Well, because there's just so many different things that you could like that there's always going to be people who disagree. There's not just like, oh, I like... Like, if you look at Thundercats, there's not like, oh, I like old Thundercats, oh, I like new Thundercats, and then you're just like, oh, I hate you.
An angry, like, disgruntled man that just hates everyone.
Like, me and Jeff bicker about old He-Man versus new He-Man all the time. I mean, granted, it's all just for fun. Became a running gag, but like, I mean, you've got, like, old shows and new shows, or if, like, there's two different dubs, you mean, like, you got subs versus dubs, and, like, you usually have, like, a two-sided, like,
Sentai war. Versus Power Rangers.
Yeah, Sentai versus PR and all that.
Disney PR versus Saban.
but in case of Dragon Ball, you have, like, dub, original Japanese, and then you've got, like, dub music, Japanese music, then you've got Kai and original. And then you've got, like, all these different possible mix and matches because
and
of the way the DVDs...
And Brazilians and shit.
And then you got the Brazilian dub, which is apparently legit or something. I don't think it's DX, but...
Like, nope, doesn't say it on the box. Like, that's the thing is that, like, even with something, like, bigger, like Spider-Man or something like that, where there's all these different incarnations, like, you can still argue about, like, oh, this comic series or this movie was better, but those are all different stories you're comparing.
But, yeah, this is
one,
literally, like, all the same thing.
Yeah, you're different versions of the same thing. It's not like you're comparing different series. Yeah. So it's, like, really unique in that sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, it's interesting to read, like, the wars.
Yeah.
Between all the people that are like, oh, the Japanese version, like, oh, the Funimation version, oh, the Ocean dub, because I think Canada got the Ocean dub or something, because they're a Canadian
Canada.
Company. So, like, I think everything that aired on, like, YTV up there was all the Ocean dub, and so America has a little bit of both. So you have some people that stayed faithful and, like, tried to find all the Ocean dub everywhere. Then you have the Funimation people, which are the cool people. And
yeah.
Then,
Funimation Brofist.
And then you got like the Japanese fans, and it's a big mess. There's always going to be wars, particularly with this show. So
yeah,
you can't appease everyone.
Appease.
Like, I mean, while I don't like the Kai voices. Or at least the ones that are changed. I mean, I like some of the changed ones, because I like, I think Vic Mignogna does, I think, what was it? Did he do Raccoon or something? He did some weird-ass character, but, like, I like his better just because I'm such a fan of his work. So, I mean, like, I like some of the voices, but when you change someone, like, as dear to me as Gohan, then I get kind of pissed.
I liked Android 19's new voice, because it was more robot-y, and it distinguished it from Boo.
And I like the, just the fact that it removed the filler. Like,
yeah.
The only thing I don't like about Kai for the most part is the fact that it didn't finish the damn show.
Yeah, that was pretty stupid.
Because, I mean, I love the fact that it took out the filler, because DBZ is an incredibly long show. It's 300-something episodes.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they chalked it down to, I think, 200 or something, but that removing half the show.
Yeah.
I was like, how are they going to cut it 100 episodes? I was like,
look, we have to fight for like 5 minutes and then stop and talk for a little while about how strong we each are.
Your muscles glisten. Let me explain why mine glisten more. I use this product. Like, that's pretty much what they do. It just, damn it, Liam Bowie. Like, my muscles glisten too.
Look at my armor. It's so shiny.
My armor is all shiny and new and red. I have a sword. That's gonna comment on Triceratops Candroid. Where's the ninth Candroid? What?
But yeah, I think
next
that's...
time you go to the bathroom, check the toilet. It's right there.
Okay.
Sorry. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, good times. Good times.
Good times. Dragon Ball.
Like I said, I do love Dragon Ball. So.
So next week, Ramble Time and Frieza.
Yep, Ramble Time, and then we'll kick it up with some Friezas, and then more Ramble Times, and then
kick
some
it up.
Androids. And
insert Juggle of Anorexia here just to piss people off. Come on, it was funny. I thought it was funny when I saw it.
Anorexia is funny.
Kevin, pissing more people off than me.
Oh well. That's what happens. I mean, people are dumb, you laugh at them.
Right. Alright, so now that that's done and over with, so it's time for
Final Things!
Yay!
I have a thingy, it's not final.
I don't really have too much to say here other than once again feedback. Particularly with the DBZ section, so we can help refine that before we start Frieza.
We finally refine it like GT or Dragon Ball at the end before we go to the next thing. Oh, that'll be great.
And once I figure out how we're cutting up Dragon Ball, I'll put up a schedule in the thread, but I don't know how we're doing that yet since Dragon Ball's a really awkwardly cut season or series. Yeah. So. Yeah, that's about all. It's about all. Okay. Sorry. Hello, welcome to RRR.
I'm raping you.
RRR. Has to go on the bloopers. This needs to be recorded.
Oh, welcome to RRR.
That's season 3. We do all titles like seals.
Oh god. Great start.
You should park there. Move.
Yeah, Kevin, you should park in the fucking driveway. Yeah.
Where else are you gonna park? You
don't park,
the car
park on the lawn?
What? Just is Lexi's car there?
Don't park in the doghouse.
Well. What does Lexi have to do with this? She's Meredith Grey's sister.
Ass.
What? Angela's not qualified to drive my car. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Is Kevin really going to go drive his car in the middle of the podcast?
I don't know where my keys are. Wait, here
I got my keys.
We're just talking. Here. Kevin's like, you drive it.
You're not taking my car. You think? That's what's frightening.
May we continue?
Yes.
Okay. Your noises in the background. Okay.